Guys. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up with an update on all the celebrities over the weekend here. Also, what's up with Miss Cleo and her cupcake addiction and highlights from the final Conan O'Brien Tonight Show. All ahead in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
No.
Oh, don't be in here raining on our parade again, Ralph.
Come on. First thing on a Monday morning. It's bad enough people have to get up and go to work or school, whatever they're doing. Then you're going to just kick them in the nads by doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
I want them to get off on the right foot. This will
make people kill themselves.
It's a perfect start to the week.
This will be suicide.
No.
Horrible. It's the same bit over and over again.
It's
you do
always
some
funny.
BS story from the news.
It's not BS. It's a real story.
And it's
all
it involves some animal, and then you talk to the animal, and the animal has hilarious things to say. Never, ever is it entertaining or interesting.
Look, I know you've had your problems with the bit in the past, Ralph, but wait till you hear the stories that are on the wheel that we potentially could land on. Listen to this. Kevin, tell them what's coming up.
All right. We have the Argentinian mega colony ants.
Oh, that's great.
We have Percy the albino squirrel.
Woo!
We have the Japanese attack bear.
Ah, I see I'm wrong.
We have an elephant that throws rocks.
Wow! Really?
We have the pimpin' chimps.
Did we already do that?
I think we did the pimpin' chimps.
Let's take that off.
We have the giant Japanese jellyfish.
Hey.
We have the Russian dog girl. We have the renegade kangaroo.
That's not even an animal, by the way, the Russian dog girl. It's a poor girl who was raised by dogs, who licks herself and scratches her ear.
We have the strip club goat.
Strip club goat.
And we have the acid-spitting Mongolian death worm.
So how could you not want to talk to a death worm, Ralph? Come on.
All of those stories deserve our attention. We don't have time for all of them.
They all do deserve our attention.
So we spin the wheel, and then we pick one.
So you're going to spin the wheel?
Yes.
And the fact that you teased the strip club goat earlier this morning has no effect on what happens with the wheel.
Total luck.
It has no effect on the outcome
100%
whatsoever. 100%. All right.
We'll see.
Here we go.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
See, nifty little bed.
I like it.
I don't know. I might have voted against this if I remembered how bad the theme song was. All right. We have no way of knowing where the wheel will land, but go ahead and spin it, Kevin, and let's see which story we're going to be following up here today.
The strip club goat.
What are the chances? The wheel hasn't even stopped it yet.
Dead down. It's on the strip club goat.
Oh, that's amazing.
What are the chances of that?
Coachella, California. If that place sounds familiar, that is the site of the Music and Arts Festival happening in April. Before a strip club there even opened, it had a horny goat banging down its doors. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a 150-pound goat smashed through two large glass doors at the Lynx Gentleman Club over the weekend, causing about $2,000 worth of damage. What was going on in that goat's mind? Well, fortunately, with the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, we don't have to guess. We can actually talk to somebody. I hope it's the goat. That's what I'm hoping for.
Come on. Play along. This is how we do it.
Yeah.
We're calling the strip club owner.
Hello?
Hello? Is this the strip club owner?
Yeah, right. It's the strip club owner. No, wait a minute. I'm the goat.
You're
from
the
story.
I see.
Oh, what are the chances? That's amazing. And that you'd be at the strip club answering the phone 2 weeks after you smashed into the door, too. I love that.
I love strip clubs.
Apparently you stood there and you looked at your reflection in the door for a couple of hours. And then you just rammed it down. You just went right in.
I was waiting for it to open.
Oh, really?
And I was waiting and waiting, and I just couldn't wait any longer.
It was waiting for its liquor license to come through, and then once they got all the paperwork done, they were going to open the doors.
They had no champagne in the champagne room?
Right.
Wow.
That's disappointing for you?
All I wanted was a lap dance.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Foo Fighters on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. You ought to go to KROQ.com and check out the awesome video up there of Dave Grohl addicted to coffee. Fresh pots! It's very funny.
Fresh pots.
All right, it's 8:23. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about wedding disasters as a topic? How about that? There's been a bunch of stuff in the news lately that has, it's reminded us of the greatest wedding disaster we ever saw, a story that I'll never tire of telling, that we went to former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning's wedding.
Yes.
Number of years ago, now he works very hard behind the scenes on the internet. He's the KevinBean.com guy. And his brother gave a toast. His brother was pretty faded by the time it came time for him to give a toast. His brother gave a toast that was so awesome that somebody had to go and take the microphone away from him. It turned into a wrestling match, too. Somebody had to try to forcibly pull the microphone away from the best man who was given the toast, and it went something like this.
It should have been me. It's not fair. He has everything. He's got a cool job.
That's about right.
He gets to marry a hot lady.
just are standing there just in horror. There's something about the fact that, I mean, it's always funny to see somebody drunk, but when it's at an event like that that's so special that everybody wants to go so perfectly, and it's the, you know, it's the couple's very special day, you don't want anything to ruin it for them. It was just horrible, but so, so funny. Although even that story may pale in comparison to two other stories that are ripped right from the headlines this week. And then we're going to take your calls on things that you've seen at wedding disasters that you have been witness to, things that went wrong, fights broke out, people got drunk, someone ended up on an ambulance. We want to hear it all at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a story for real about a woman named Sharon Hancox, a 40-year-old lesbian, ended up being arrested at her own wedding. Apparently, she was angry at the doorman at the hotel where the wedding was being held because he had let in some people to the reception that weren't supposed to be there.
Oh.
Some drunk people crashed the wedding.
Okay.
So she was really ticked off at the doorman at the hotel. Now, I don't know why she chose this way to express her displeasure toward him, but she took off her top and bared her boobs at him and then beat her in the head with a shoe.
Really?
So she's drunk, of course. She took the top off her dress, exposing her breast. Now, how is that punishment to the guy for not doing a good job at gatekeeping?
Maybe she had Gwyneth Paltrow breasts, and they were really bad to look at.
So she was trying to offend her.
But she would. That's not something she would think, that she would go out of her way to try to. I don't understand this at all. But the police were called, and a scuffle ensued, and she ended up being arrested and spent her wedding night in jail before she was released the next day and was able to continue on with her honeymoon. But that's exactly the type of wedding that we're talking about. If you went to a lesbian wedding where one of the brides took her top off, basically, and hit a guy with a shoe, that's the kind of story that we're looking for.
Absolutely.
The other story, and we're not putting this up at kevinandbean.com, but it's on the internet if you want.
I can't believe you're not.
Bean wanted to, and we voted him down.
Well, you were wrong, because everybody wants to see this.
No.
Bean's right.
No.
Everybody else is wrong.
They can go find it themselves.
You can find it. It's a wedding reception in Russia, and again, a true story. It just happened this week, of a guy who was given a toast in front of the bride and groom, in front of the assembled friends and family that were there, and for whatever reason, he tried to turn it into some sort of routine. He brought a gun with him and simulated Russian roulette there in front of the crowd. Held the gun up to his head, pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. Somebody else, not the guy giving the toast, says, "Ooh, let me try it." Guy hands the gun to him, pulls the trigger. Maybe in that case, there's a bullet in the chamber. Dude gets shot in the head, falls to the ground.
For God's sake.
That's so intense.
How is that one entertainment at a wedding? Hey, I know what. I'll bring a gun and play Russian roulette.
No, that's horrible. That's dumb. And right from the start, that's dumb. But I was thinking about this. And let's say, heaven forbid, someone dies at your wedding. A heart attack. Stroke, something. You know,
right.
That's terrible. Imagine how much worse it is when a guy explodes his brains all over everybody.
Seems worse. You're never going to get that out of
that
dress.
That is intense.
That's a great point, Lisa. And let's hope he was standing far enough away from the cake that there's no kind of splatter going on there.
Because
that just
means
dessert for everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is what's amazing to me, by the way. And I guess I don't know if the laws are different in Russia or what. But the guy was arrested. The guy who handed the gun over to the dude who shot himself in the head was arrested and charged with hooliganism.
Really?
Doesn't it seem like Russian roulette inciting at a wedding reception ought to bring more than hooliganism?
A little bit more, yeah.
I think so. So 1-800-520-1067. We've got some great calls on hold. We will get to you immediately. We want to take your calls too. Wedding disasters, what have you seen? I don't expect you to top Russian roulette, but I want to hear what you got. We'll take your calls coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why is that song so good?
Hi.
Band out of Australia called The Temper Trap right there on 106.7 KROQ. Maybe you first heard that song like I did in the 500 Days of Summer movie, but that is awesome from their debut album. It is called Sweet Disposition. It's the world famous K-Rock at 836. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about wedding disasters. Had a couple of great stories, including Russian roulette breaking out at a Russian roulette at a Russian wedding for reals happened. Guy got shot in the head. Try to top that. 1-800-520-1067. What have you seen at a wedding or a wedding reception that just ruined it for everybody? We're going to start with Sandra, who was a guest at what sounds like a fantastic wedding and party on line 5. Hey, Sandra, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I was at a wedding, and everybody was just drunk off their butt. And a fight broke out in the men's restroom, and it broke out into the reception hall. People were tearing it up. Blood. The cops came, started macing everybody. It was a good time to be had by all.
Yeah. Are you serious?
The cops started macing everybody to break up the fight?
The police came because, I mean, people were just running amok in there, and they had to mace everybody to get everybody to stop.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Hey, yeah, what was the deal? Yeah. What was the makeup of the clientele at this wedding?
Of course they were Mexican. Hello.
Yeah.
How we doing? Hello,
that's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah, I want to go to that. I usually don't like weddings. I would go to that wedding. That sounds like fun. Thank you very much, Sandra. Appreciate that. Let's try Trish. Line 8, please. Trish was the bride, and trouble happened at her wedding. Hi, Trish. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Okay. My wedding in 01, mother-in-law got smacked in the face by swing dancers.
There you go. A little too much excitement on the dance floor. Was she hurt or was it okay?
She was okay, but I mean, she spent the rest of the evening in the kitchen with some ice on her face. But the DJ was a swing dancer, and a girlfriend of mine was there. She did swinging. I don't know what happened, but swing dancing broke out, and just as he flipped her over, my frail mother-in-law was walking by and just got shellacked on the face.
That's hilarious. That's death by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is what that's called. All right, thank you very much for the call. Line 1, please. Let's go to the groom. This is going to be Mike joining us on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Mike, what happened?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen. Well, I was my wife and I finished the wedding. We're in the limo going to the reception. Popped open the champagne. The cork hit me right in the eye glasses. Shattered my glasses. Cut my eye open.
Oh, no.
Did you end up in the emergency room?
The champagne away from you, right? Well, I didn't know at the time.
Did you have to go to the hospital right then?
Yeah. I made this little detour, got butterflied up, bandaged over, and continued on.
Wow. How about that? That's not how you want to start married life. That's an awesome story. Thanks, dude. Appreciate that. Let's try Greg. He's a guest at a wedding on line 3. Greg, what happened at your wedding?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Hi.
I'm at a wedding. People are dancing. Guy sits down right behind me, the next table. Next thing you know, he keels over, has a heart attack, and dies.
Awesome.
Oh, he died.
He happened to have been a fireman. So there were a fireman there. So half the crowd is screaming. The other half is grabbing him, trying to do CPR. The groom ends up walking out, grabs a bottle of champagne. And all he can say is, why does this happen to me? And the bride just grabbing every other guy going, why can't he pay attention to me?
Oh, man.
That, you know what? I don't care how great the rest of the wedding day is. If somebody dies at your reception, that puts a little bit of a pall on the ceremony, doesn't it?
Come I on. Think so.
Oh, yeah, the marriage lasted about 5 months.
Sounds.
Oh, that's a bad start. They were cursed from the beginning. All right, dude. Mm. Thank you so much for the call. Let's try Tony. Tony was the groom in this case. He's on line 4. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What happened?
Hey, good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Well, I got married in night 3, my brother and my father-in-law got in a fight. My brother-in-law actually kicked my father-in-law's ass. My father-in-law got a little too drunk and started talking about his Marine days, and my brother, being in the Navy, kind of told him to shut up a little bit, and I was trying to do it secretly, and he just kept getting too loud, and my brother asked my father-in-law to go across the street with him real quick, and when they got off the sidewalk, my brother kicked my father-in-law's ass and made him look like Herman Munster.
Oh,
that's awesome. His forehead was, like, really, really bad, and the reception kind of broke up right then and there. Both of our families kind of, like, started getting at each other.
But, Tony, what about you? I mean, you gotta kind of come between those two and try to make order, right? I mean, that's not what you want to do at your wedding reception, but you had to kind of step in, right?
Yeah, I did. I told my brother, I was like, what the hell happened to you and what's going on? And he just was like, dude, never mind. You don't even want to know. And I looked over at my father-in-law, and he just, I swear to you, he looked like Herman Munster. His forehead was just like totally.
Good times.
Like, yeah, just like.
Just flat, right? All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Alex. He's another groom. He's on line 5. By the way, judging from the rate that these calls are coming in, mm-hmm. A lot of bad weddings and receptions. A lot of disasters break it out when a wedding happens. Alex, what's going on, dude?
Hey guys. Hey, Lisa. Mick.
Hi.
At my own wedding, my best man brought his entire family. they proceeded to get a little tipsy, and it was actually an interracial marriage because my wife at the time was Japanese, and they were sitting next to her parents, and they proceeded to squint their eyes when they're tipsy and start saying "Chickadee China," and pretending to do karate right at my
Come on, racial taunting at the wedding? Are you kidding me?
I thought it was hysterical, which is part of the reason she's my ex right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Wrong, but funny. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
Oh, so many great calls. Let's try Angela. She was a bride with a memorable wedding on line one. Hi, Angela. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hello there.
Hi.
Wedding went great. And towards the end of it, my mother-in-law, she was drunk. She showed up drunk. She was upset and just said, get a divorce already.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, so your new husband's mom was yelling at you to get a divorce at the wedding?
Yes.
Had you had run-ins with her, or had it been okay up till then?
It was okay. I mean, she's already has a drinking problem.
Right, clearly.
Dealt with her from a distance, and she wasn't really involved in the wedding details or anything. We just kept it small.
Mm-hmm.
We did it all ourselves, and it was just this little small wedding. And I think she was upset because she wasn't involved with stuff, or I don't know. So, and she
wanted to take.
It was towards the end where everyone's taking, you know, flowers and taking cake home and all that, and she was mad because she wanted a certain decoration of flowers, and I said, well, that was for my grandmother, and she just went off, and she just said, get a divorce already.
All right. Great call, Angela. Thank you. Let's do one more. Let's make it Michael on line two. He was a guest at this particular wedding, and this is what I was hoping for today. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
All right. So I was at the wedding. I step outside for a cigarette, and one of the groom's best friends steps out, too. He's a chick walking around. She comes up, starts talking to him. They go to the car, and it happened to be a prostitution bus. The chick was actually a cop.
Oh,
no.
So wait. So this guy was another guest at the wedding, and he was arrested for soliciting prostitution during the reception.
During the reception, out in Hollywood. Yeah, it was the groom's best friend. Mm-hmm. Not the best man, but...
That's awesome. That's
and he had
great.
A wife and kids inside, so everybody, you know, comes out when they hear the commotion, and you should have seen the look on the wife's face, which was pretty horrible.
Oh, dear God.
I got to ask, who goes out when your wife and kids are inside at the reception, who goes out in front of the hotel and tries to get with a hooker in the parking lot? That's too good to be true.
Probably drunk, right?
An Armenian.
Yeah!
Hi. I'm Craig Robinson. Let's get sexy.
Can I have some booty?
I want to have an honest moment. How many people here? This is your first time tonight seeing a black man in real life clapping hands. If it's your first time.
Excuse me. I met my wife in kindergarten. We got married senior year, and she has been the queen of my world ever since.
But what if you could do it all over again?
I would live by myself. The woman is a bane of my existence.
I can't let you in because you're old as for this club, not, you know, for the earth.
Craig Robinson from The Office, he's shamelessly promoting his new movie.
Time to see.
Can I have some booty?
Yeah.
Craig Robinson, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I am fantastical. Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for climbing out of the hot tub and joining us in 2010. We appreciate that the most.
I will never climb out of the hot tub.
We had your buddy, Mr. Cordry, on a couple of days ago, who's one of your co-stars in the Hot Tub Time Machine. Funny, funny dude, and really got us all, those of us who haven't seen the movie, Ralph, I know you have, really got the rest of us so pumped out about it, because it sounds like it was so much fun to make, and that translates on the screen.
It was all right.
Come on.
The thing about Cordry is he's going to be a big movie star after this movie comes out, I think.
Cordry's poised for super excellence. He stole a movie.
He stole a movie a little bit.
It was unfair from the first line he had and evident that it was...
You could tell? Really?
Oh, yeah. His character plays this a-hole who gets to do whatever he wants.
Right.
And he has so much freedom. It's so unfair.
You and John Cusack are his best buddies, and you take him on a trip back to the old ski resort town where you guys used to hang out when you were young men, and that's sort of to rekindle your friendship.
It's called Kodiak Valley. We call it K-Vals.
K-Vals.
And, yes, that's exactly what happened. We got into a hot tub and went back to 1986.
Oh, well, that old happens. Plot line. That again, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. People call it cliche.
You are the, especially, I mean, you're a comic anyway, so you're used to improv and working on your feet, and especially after your experience all these years on The Office, you're kind of a master at the improv, comfortable with that. Was that the
master
case with a guy like,
at the improv?
Is that the case with a guy like Johnny Cusack? Because he doesn't strike me as that's the kind of background he has.
Cusack put it down in this movie here. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people, even though he's, you know, best known for some of the greatest comedies in the
80s. Yeah, true.
Yeah. But I know what you're saying there. And so, yeah, he was, when he came on board, because they had Rob and myself first, mm-hmm. and Clark Duke, and then Cusack came on. It was, when he came on, he was like, you know, he's exec producer, so he's like, you know, we can do whatever y'all want. We can put a bear. You want to wrestle bear? We can do it. You know, so, yeah, he came on, and he was, improvising, and we all just got along famously.
Great.
The movie is one of those, when you watch, you say, this is the kind of movie people are going to be quoting lines from for 20 years from now. It's like one of those classic comedies, I think, where people will be saying, great white buffalo.
Great white buffalo.
For the rest
of our lives. Don't
life.
Know what's
to mean. I need to hear that. You got it.
Great white buffalo. Great white buffalo. Great white buffalo.
Damn you.
People will be saying, I'm already saying with my friends.
Somebody texted me great white buffalo last night, and I texted really? Back, great white buffalo.
That's going to blow up, I'm telling you. And we get to see you sing a little bit, which is nice.
Oh,
you
cool.
A little musical performance from Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I got to do an 80s song entitled Jesse's Girl. I don't know if you...
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah. Before, you know, and then I'll bring it back to the future with some Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, you introduced Black Eyed Peas to the 80s.
Oh, no.
Now, in the 80s, did the Black Eyed Peas still suck? Or how does that work?
Hatred. Hatred.
I'm just saying, they're the worst popular band in America, Craig.
Are you kidding me? I love the Black Eyed Peas.
No, you don't. You're just saying that because they're in your movie. Come on.
What?
They're horrible.
You just don't understand,
don't they make you want to shake your booty?
You don't understand where they come from, man. You kidding?
Where do they come from, Craig?
That's the joint. That's the jam.
Now, what? That Black Eyed Peas is good.
Yeah.
That, 10 years ago, Black Eyed Peas is great.
They haven't gone anywhere. I've been to Black Eyed Peas shows. Black Eyed Peas rock hard.
Wow. I don't know. I've just, you've just
girl,
been knocked out a couple of steps
you
of
know,
respect here.
Did the things that couples do when they love, you know, walks on the beach and stuff, you know, things that lovers say you do. I love you, boo. I love you too. I miss you a lot. I miss you even more. That's why I flew you out when we were on tour. But it's rap, it's music, it's singing, it's dancing. Black Eyed Peas.
All I know is
Great
White
Buffalo.
Take Val's crowd
off.
Loves it in the movie. And
do it out.
And I did a flip.
Yeah, you did
a
flip.
What do you mean
flip.
You did a flip?
I did a flip. Oh, you'll see the movie. This is
like a backflip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a couple
really?
Of them. I did a couple of them, yeah.
Well, you're known for your athleticism, so that's not a surprise to me.
Exactly.
Gymnastics background.
Well, you know, I'm not known for my athleticism, but, you know, this is another side of me that Steve Pink was like, you know, we need to show this side of you. We need to show this side of you. We need to show. Because I would be doing things on set. He's like, let's get that in the movie.
Right.
Do that backflip. Yes.
Uh-huh. The stuntman looks like he's about 5'7", by the way. Compared to
when I
all
flip,
right.
I shrink.
Craig Robinson is here.
That sounds like an Oscar winning movie. I shrink when I flip.
It sure
it
does.
Wins
hot,
in. I shrink when I flip.
Hot Tub Time Machine opens everywhere on Friday. More with Mr. Robinson when we return right after this on the Kevin DeBee Show.
1, 2, 3. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hey, everybody. Oh. How about Craig Wilson?
Yeah. Craig Wilson. Craig Wilson is here in studio with us from
Craig
the Hot
Wilson.
Tub Time Machine.
He's the best.
I am Craig Wilson.
Oh, wait, it's Craig Robinson. Sorry. Hot Tub Time Machine opens up everywhere on Friday. We hear nothing but great things about it. Ralph, you were saying you were sad when it ended. You enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, you find out in the course of the film that these guys pretty much have one night to do what they need to do in order to get back
to the present. And the minute that plot point was revealed to me, I was sort of bummed because I would like to see much more time with these characters in that situation. That's how good the movie is. You want more of it.
Thank you. A lot of things happen in that one night.
Oh, trust me. You guys pack it in. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, we start early in the morning and we just go and go and go. So
now, I know no one has seen the movie yet here, especially Bean, so I don't mean to take up too much time. And the listeners will have to go see it this weekend. But can I just briefly talk to you about the scene with you and Tara, the groupie, in the bathtub?
Yes, I'm prepared to talk about that.
There's a scene where Craig's young character, when he was back at this place in the 80s, was in a band and he had sex with a groupie. And they think they have to do everything they did that same
so
night.
So they don't change.
They don't change the future.
The butterfly effect.
The butterfly effect. Right.
Okay.
And so Craig's character is married at this point, but still has to have sex with the hottest girl you've ever seen in your life.
Married, but faithful and deeply in love with his wife.
But you, Craig, the actor, got to have that girl climbing all over you in a tub for a day and a half, I'm sure.
Here's the thing. The actor, Nick, I was so into the character. I don't... It's like it happened to someone else.
Screw you.
You didn't even enjoy it, right?
Yeah, I wasn't able to enjoy it because I was Nick.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, and Nick wasn't able to enjoy it because he was cheating on his wife, and that is not his stilo.
Right. There are no winners here.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. No winners here at all.
It was tough. But upon seeing the footage, that was the amazing... Jessica Paré.
Does an excellent job in the film.
Yes, she does an excellent job. And if you listen, you'll probably miss it because people are laughing over it. But she says some funny things in that.
You keep calling her by your wife's name. You keep screaming your wife's name out while you're in the tub. She keeps correcting you.
Courtney.
Yes.
Courtney.
Tara.
Courtney.
Tara.
Yeah. And I'm crying.
He's crying.
Nick is crying.
It's very entertaining.
Don't tell me anymore.
Oh, it's so good.
Stop it.
I'm used to my partner crying during sex. I'm not used to me being the one who's crying. Great White Buffalo.
Great White Buffalo.
Hey, Craig, what was, and I'm sure you had to do, and I'm sure it was a lot of fun to do all the period stuff to go back to the 80s, but what was the craziest thing that you can't believe we actually lived through, that people actually did, that was considered fashionable or acceptable in the 1980s that you have in the movie?
Lingerie and jogging suits. Cut up jogging suits and lingerie.
You mean like the flash dance, the leg warmers and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the Madonna. You know what I'm talking about? You got the headband. And we just walk around like that. I would wear the lingerie and jogging suit. And, it was just a crazy look. I don't think I've ever caught on to the look. I went to Illinois State University in the 80s. Wait, end of the 80s, 89. And it was always really crazy with the big hair and the crimps. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah, the crimpers. Yeah, the hair's crimps.
Where they crimp their hair?
Yeah.
Like a perm?
Yeah, black people call it S-curl. But it was just...
You were never rocking the kid and play fade when you were younger?
I had the kid and play. I had a very high fade.
Did you really?
It was a good foot up in the air. I'm dead serious. It was like, and that's what it was. It was almost like a lion. You know, and who has the bigger mane, you know?
Because the kid who plays you young in the movie is rocking the kid in play fade, which is very impressive.
And I think that's that came about because they were like, what was your hair like in the 80s? And I was
sweet. Bang. We have a clip of Mr. Robinson in the hot tub time machine. Mike, help me out here. What do we need to know before we hear this?
This is, I think, when the cast really discovers that they have, in fact, traveled through time.
Dude is rocking the set
play. Relax, I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
Craig Wallace! Jerry Crew!
Excuse me, miss. What color is Michael Jackson?
Black.
That's all you need to know.
Hot tub time machine.
If only it were real. Hey, let's take one quick call from Vince, who has a question before Craig has to get on out of here on the Kevin and Bean Show, line one. Hi, Vince. Welcome to the show. You're on with Craig. Go ahead.
Good morning, party people.
Hi.
Hey, Craig.
I wanted to ask Craig, is Eastbound and Down ever coming back on?
Eastbound?
Yeah, where the hell is Eastbound and Down, Craig?
Eastbound and Down is coming back. They are writing it right now. And watch out. That's all I got to say. They told me a couple of the, you know... the beginning episode, just the beginning scene of the new season. It's
and you're back.
They got no
you're
more rules.
Recurring character, right?
No
you're
more
still
rules.
Back.
Oh yeah, I'll be back.
Great.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't ask, are you going to keep your desk in the office? Are they going to keep you in your own office?
It's so funny to have you up there now.
The Saber has moved you up into management.
I know, right? Hey,
tucking your shirt.
Your mouth to God's ears. I love being up there, so
keep you out of the warehouse.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's good news for Daryl on the office this season, that's for sure. All right, always so much going on with Craig, and I know you're not going to be able to join us in a couple of weeks for this year's April Foolishness. Aww. We want to thank you again.
And I'm disappointed more than anyone.
Sure. Of course you are. You wanted a do-over, right?
Craig Wilson really will be there.
I want to thank you again, though, for the phenomenal job you and the band did last year, and maybe next year your schedule will permit you appearing again, because we loved having you on that bill. You were the breakout hit of the night. We raised so much money for charity. I'm sorry you can't be there this year, but thanks again for that. And it's always great to catch up with the Craig. Everybody, go see Hot Tub Time Machine. It opens everywhere on Friday.
Great Web Buffalo. Great Web Buffalo. Thank you.
Marcy Playground. Mother
That's what
efforts.
I'm talking about.
106.7. K-Rock is Caro Q at 839.
Oh. And?
And don't forget the big game party. Sunday at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa featuring Pepper and our own Gay Psycho Mike.
All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We see a lot of stories, and some of them we just can't get our head around, and that's why we have to ask Alex to find us somebody for follow-up. Apparently, there is an up-and-coming rage in evangelical churches in this country. I mean, in the hundreds now, Kevin, there are churches that combine the teachings of the Bible with MMA fighting.
This is the whole younger people aren't getting into church, so we need to reach out to them in a way that will attract them to our churches.
Okay.
And I thought the whole church thing is all about, you know, peace and love, not necessarily, you know, beating a guy's head in, but apparently they have figured out a way to combine the two. We have many, many questions about this trend. As I say, there are hundreds of churches around.
700, this article says. How's that possible?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and
this
some
is a
of
big
them,
trend.
Yeah. Some of them they have services and then they watch, you know, pay per view or MMA fights on television. Some of them they have actual fighting where you go and you sit there and you listen to the service and then you go out of the parking lot and you actually fight guys. It's just crazy.
There's
right?
a place in Nashville that is called Extreme Ministries, and the school's motto is "Where feet, fist, and face faith collide."
There you go.
So good exactly. times with that. That's what you're looking for in a church.
So apparently we do have one of the reverends who works at an MMA church. His name is, well, it's Ed Hardy, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Rev. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm dropping bones in the dome for Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah!
Is there any way you could not fight and instead talk to us on the phone, Rev?
Sorry, got some of the disciples doing a little workout here. Sorry. You know, okay. The devil never takes a day off, and neither do we.
Okay. All right. I understand. Well, maybe you could explain a little bit, because I'm a little foggy on the concept. How do you use fighting to teach the what Jesus believed?
I'm sorry. What was that question again?
I said, how do you use fighting to teach the word of God?
Because that's what Jesus would do if he was still here, man. He'd be kicking ass and taking names.
I thought Jesus was the whole turn the other cheek guy.
All right. So his defense need a little bit of desire right there. But actually, he's got some amazing moves, like the Sermon on the Full Mount. You ever see that move?
I did not know it.
What a submission hold. The stigmata on the plata.
Wow.
You know there's a move called a crucifix?
I did not know that.
From the side control, you pull your opponent's arm between your legs and cross your legs, locking it there.
Right.
With one hand, you pull down your opponent's other arm,
right.
allowing your free arm to punch an elbow his unprotected head. Now
wow.
that is Jesus right there.
How?
Punching somebody in their unprotected head.
I don't claim to be an expert, but I don't think Jesus ever punched anyone in their unprotected head.
God gave us two fists, brother. What do you think they're there for? To pound people in the face. Okay. Are you with me?
No. Couldn't somebody argue that the hands are there to, you know, to hand out food, to help the poor, to work a good, honest living?
They're weak like the devil. I'd rather use my hands for a rear naked choke hold.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
No. Do you sell the t-shirts that say Jesus didn't tap?
Absolutely. Jesus didn't tap, neither do we.
I don't want to anger, you know, religious people, but how do they know Jesus didn't tap?
Because he didn't.
His hands weren't exactly available.
He never tapped.
Right, but...
Hold on, wait, time out. His hands weren't exactly available?
I'm saying, how would we know?
Is that some sort of crucifixion
yes!
reference?
Yes, I'm saying, how do we know he didn't tap?
Wow,
Yeah.
Me?
Wow.
What, me? I'm selling the t-shirts Jesus didn't tell.
Mother Mary, First Lady of Muay Thai, please forgive him. He knows not what he does.
Mother Mary's the First Lady of Muay Thai?
I'll say a prayer for you, brother.
All right.
Wow. Are you with me?
No. What?
Family Guy centers around a typical New England family.
You can't ask me to make dinner, Lois. It's like asking me to choose between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kirsten Dunst in a hot body weird face contest. It can't be done.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Fat chicks need love, too, but they gotta pay.
I'm a bigger hit with the kids than Will Smith and his nice, clean rap.
Woo! I respect women when I'm on a date. I take them to the park or maybe a museum, and I only try to kiss them if they're ready. Woohoo!
Fess up or I'll do to you what I did to John Lennon.
John, have you met Yoko? Yoko, John?
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you wanna take a...
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly...
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
Seth MacFarlane.
Hey,
hey.
Hey, boss.
How are you?
What's going on?
Ralph Garman, I don't believe it.
I know, how exciting.
I see this guy all the time.
We do. We got the big episode coming up this weekend. Something, something, something. Dark Side. The follow-up Star Wars spoof to Blue Harvest, of course. And I'm telling you, Seth, from the part that I've seen when I was recording some of my stuff, it looks to be even funnier than the first one.
It's, hey, Ralph, your stuff is the best part, man.
I was going to say, I think the medical droid at the end of the episode really is the standout of
the
whole
episode. That's the one?
Yeah.
That's worth Ralph just recorded a rather large guest spot for us in which he plays... An incredibly abusive boyfriend, and if there's any way to make that funny, Ralph has done it.
I got to tell you, that's what we love about Family Guy. It seems like almost every subject you tackle is really could go terribly wrong if you don't do it right.
We found in the past couple of years that there's a weird formula that kind of works for the show often, eerily often, and that's if we take the, you know, it worked with the abortion episode, which you'll see when it's released on DVD.
Can't wait.
It worked with this episode that I'm referring to. By taking like the plot of a Lifetime movie and doing like kind of an Airplane Mel Brooks kind of glaze over it,
right?
It makes for a really good episode that has some meat to it, you know, because there's an issue,
sure,
and just has a bunch of great jokes and you know, you never quite cross over that line of being insensitive because you're actually telling a story, but. Yeah, you know, the show pisses a new group of people off every week.
You get a lot of complaints because it seems like, you know, a show like yours kind of has a reputation, kind of people know to expect that irreverence, so maybe they're not tuning in anymore, but
I don't know. I think they keep tuning in, and I think they're getting angrier.
Is that right?
They seem to go out of their way to be offended sometimes, these groups.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that kind of it surprises me what ticks people off. I cannot, on a weekly basis, predict what group is going to come after us next. This thing with the Vietnam War Memorial... They got. It was out of left field. I'm an insensitive bastard. But I that one just completely surprised me. I just didn't think that was that.
I think both may be true.
Things in the show.
For those people who missed that episode, there is a scene where two Vietnam War vets are at the War Memorial in Washington, and there's a Vietnamese guy making fun of them, saying that they lost, basically, and mocking them openly. And it was just a brief little scene, but it was hilarious, and obviously meant to be, you know, a joke that pushes the envelope a little bit. People did kind of freak out.
Yeah, I mean, it's to take nothing away from the veterans. I mean, the guy who was... It was the guy who was screaming and yelling who was being ridiculous.
Right.
But anyway, it's hard to predict.
I got
to
tell you, Seth, what, you know, from our standpoint, our company has decided that they want to offend no one.
Yeah, ever.
And they tell us that as if that's possible.
Really?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, let's just not offend anyone. And we say, look, that's the first thing you learn is that whatever you do, there's a group out there already organized that wants to get their feelings hurt.
Exactly.
That's just part of the equation.
Yes, the outrage industry.
Of course. Yeah.
Does that reaction, Seth, not to get off on a big tangent about this aspect of it, but does that reaction ever give you pause, or do you just say, we're going to do the best show we can do and be as funny as we can be?
Yeah, it's that's the way we look at it. You just can't avoid it. I mean, unless you're doing Little House on the Prairie, you know,
right.
you just, hell, I'm sure that show even offended some people.
Yeah. Blind people were cheesed off when Mary lost her sight, I think.
Exactly. Sure. Very angry.
Exactly. That's
the ones that we're watching.
right. Yeah, it's well, that's what they got closed captioning for.
That's right.
It's unavoidable. You're gonna piss off people who are just ready, waiting at the start gate, ready to get angry no matter what you do. And it's, you know, it I think in some ways it draws attention to a particular special interest if they make noise about something.
Yeah. You got to give Fox a little love too, Seth, because they're pretty good about supporting you guys, aren't they?
Fox is great about I can't stress this enough, that the Fox Broadcast Standards Department is, they are truly some of the smartest people in the business, and they're such supporters. I mean, they really do go out of their way. You would think with a show like this that we would have a contentious relationship.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But they really do go out of their way to find ways to keep the show edgy and let us do as much as we can to keep the show funny and fresh while not, you know, getting fined millions and millions of dollars.
And on a side note, it's that people who love the show love. I mean,
yeah,
it's that edge.
I understand that. You know, it's like they're not just covering their own asses. If anything, they're taking enormous amounts of heat for us.
So tell us about Family Guy Something 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 Dark Side.
That is, I mean, there's really no reason to watch it. It's already been released on DVD.
Okay, well, that's
well done.
You know,
way to pay Fox back.
If we're really being honest, no, it's
you know how to sell a show.
It's a fun show. It's obviously our second installment of the Star Wars episode. It's actually more complex and more visually stunning than the first one, I think, and it's a fun ride. Once again, you know, Lucasfilm has been great about letting us do this and do it to the hilt, and we threw a whole lot of money into it. So it's a great episode, it'll excite viewers from start to finish.
It's a full hour. It's this Sunday at 9 o'clock on Fox. If you want to see that, tell us about your orchestra.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a fun thing. The big band, Ron Jones's Influence Jazz Orchestra, plays at Vibrato Jazz Club May 25th, and yeah, I go in and do Sinatra charts with these guys once every few months, and you know they're just a phenomenally great group. These are all the same musicians that play on Family Guy each week, actually.
Right.
And Ron Jones, who's one of our composers, has assembled about 20 of them into a fantastic jazz big band. And, you know, we play around town once every few months or so.
And for people who don't know, Seth is quite the singer. If you ever heard Brian do his duets with Frank Sinatra Jr. or any of the singing that's done on the show, that's all Seth. And you're really very good, Seth.
Oh, you're swell, Ralph.
No, it's true.
So you're singing standards. Are there people in the audience that are going to be going, hey, give us that AIDS song. Sing that one.
you know, oddly enough, that has yet to happen.
All right.
It's definitely a jazz loving crowd that comes to these things, which is kind of great because it's just, you know, there's no pressure to you know, to break into Shapoopy.
So that's this coming Tuesday, May 25th at 9 o'clock at the Vibrato's Jazz Club in Bel Air.
That's the beauty of being a billionaire TV mogul, Seth, is you can make your little fantasies like this come true.
It really is.
And Seth, on another side note, I worship your show. I really think your show is awesome. We didn't need the Stewie and Brian episode. You know,
it was really amazing.
I'm a little upset about the diaper.
I love the show so much, and yet that one could have been left out.
You know, were you grossed out, or you just were kind of bored?
No, I was grossed out.
No one could be bored by that.
There's no way to be bored by that.
You know, dogs eat crap.
That's true.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying, but we don't have to watch it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, every other episode is gold. Did you have to throw that one in?
We didn't have to. We do it because we enjoy it.
Okay, all right.
Because you're a sick man.
Fair enough. That's what we like about your show. All right, Family Guy season finale again this Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. And if you want to see Seth sing with the Influence Jazz Orchestra, that is this coming Tuesday, May 25th at 9 o'clock at the Vibrato's Jazz Club in Bel Air. Seth, we don't have you on nearly enough. We love your program, and thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Bye now. Dedicate that to Katy Perry.
Yeah, oh!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I miss Katy Perry so much already. remember how much fun it was? Remember how pretty she was and how good she smelled?
Yeah.
How much I loved her?
She's still in the next room. We're still watching her.
Oh, I miss her so much. All right, last week. Hey, folks, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Last week, I was on vacation, but I still have the internet, and I came across something that was pretty awesome. Conan O'Brien recorded a video celebrating the 5-year anniversary of YouTube. YouTube's been around 5 years already. And he selected his 5 favorite videos of the first 5 years of YouTube. And I knew all of them, except for one. There's one I had not seen before. And I don't know how I missed the Winnebago Man, but apparently it's from a couple of years ago. This may be the most awesome guy I've ever seen in my life. I want to live with this guy.
He's
so awesome.
He is my dad. He's a guy doing a commercial for a Winnebago, and he can't get the script right no matter what happens. He can't remember the lines. He gets super frustrated. He starts over and over and over again, and he curses a lot. It's me at the Grammys.
He may not have been the best choice to record a television commercial. Is that what he's doing? Is it a TV commercial,
I think so.
Do you think?
Maybe an infomercial. I don't know, for a Winnebago, a big motorhome.
Yeah.
But thank God for Conan O'Brien for turning me on to this video, because I must have watched it 20 times since I first saw it. If you haven't seen it, we've got it up at kevinandbean.com. But you gotta check this out. I think we got some audio from what this dude sounds like.
Kevin, the Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f*** sake. Oh, f***. What? What the f*** did I say? That didn't sound for f***, did it? No, what the f***? I'm saying. Oh, f***. My favorite part. Oh, f***. Tony, do me a favor, will you please? Don't slam the f***ing door. No more. Listen, I've got to give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day.
Here's my favorite part, because he's the only one yelling.
Yeah.
This guy.
Right.
Right? And then he says,
from anyone. That includes me. Want anybody yelling. We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the is going to hit the fan.
And they fit the needs of a very diverse buyer segment. Why can't I remember? I wrote this stuff. Why can't I remember it?
Man, why don't I say it right? What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
You know what else I love about this guy? And there are people to whom profanity isn't funny, so they may not find this funny. But he's not swearing to be funny. He's not swearing just for the sake of swearing. He's so incredibly frustrated that he wants to just punch a wall.
He hates
and
himself.
Pull his hair out. He hates himself so much. And you got to figure, he's filming a TV commercial. He's got, you know, people standing around, depending on him, waiting for him.
Yeah.
And it just, the worse he does, the worse it gets, and the harder it is for him to go on.
What is the goddamn line? I don't give a what the line is. I f***ed up the word rear. I can't even read the VO straight. What the was that?
We got flies all over the place.
Now there's flies out. It's an outside shoot, so there's flies. Now he's angry at the flies.
Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony. We got flies coming for us. Out of here, you flies. We got 3 flies. 5 flies. Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
He's talking to a fly.
I gotta read it again because my mind is just a piece this morning. God, I can't make my mind work.
Oh, that's so me, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is my father. I want a DNA test.
I'm blinded by that hot light. Goddamn son of a bitch. What do you mean, one? I'm going to fall off the thing. Just keep running. Bullshit. I'm going to slate this. All right, I haven't got time to mark this motherfucker.
Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody. Well, turn the thing off, you dumbass.
Man, I'd like to kick your head in.
Come on.
Not even funny anymore.
Son of a bitch!
Jesus Christ.
Okay,
it goes on for like 5 minutes.
I love that he, obviously he's the weak link here. He's the problem. But he can't, I mean, he says that, he owns up to it. But then he's got to start screaming it. It's the lights, or it's the writing, or it's the flies. He's always got to blame something. And we've all been there where we recorded something and we suck. And it's funny the first time you screw it up, and the second time, the third time, maybe the fourth time, it's still funny. Now you've got people standing around. You're at time 20.
Yeah.
And it's no longer entertaining that you're incompetent. And he is losing his mind at this point.
Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
son of a bitch.
Jesus Christ.
What the hell's the line?
Can't remember the goddamn line. The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that? I don't know. It's just all gone. I get so goddamn diuretic when I sit here, and my mouth just never stops.
Ain't worth it. Not this. Ain't worth it.
The mini Winnie.
Did you hear him? It isn't worth it. It's not worth it.
Part of American tradition. And today, on the cutting edge of design and function in a Class C motorhome. You believe any of that?
Wow.
He's the best. Go to kevinandbean.com and watch the whole thing unbeeped.
Well, let's open up Ralph's Video Vault, shall we?
What?
Welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, hello.
What the hell is going on here?
Hello.
Well,
just good things.
Kevin's been off a couple days. He loses a touch, loses a step.
And for me to lose a step.
We're talking about...
makes it pretty far behind.
That's a bad news.
One of the best, worst movies in the history of cinema. A movie I discovered from a documentary called Best, Worst Movie, which comes out next week. We'll be talking more about the actual documentary itself. But its focus is the film that was released 20 years ago, Troll 2.
Quite a category, by the way, the best, worst movie. I
mean, it really is.
Some stiff competition.
But this may actually own the title because, in fact, it is given a 0% rating on RottenTomatoes.com. There's never been a positive review published about it.
Okay.
And IMDb.com, the site for data about film and television, has awarded it the worst film ever made, according to their reviews.
Isn't there one person that wants to just make a name by saying, I'm the only one who reviewed it well?
But here's the thing. You can only really enjoy a bad movie when the people making it are completely earnest and have tried to make the best film that they can make,
right,
in my opinion. That's the only way you can really enjoy a bad movie. And Troll 2 certainly qualifies.
They mean it with all their hearts.
They thought they were making a real horror epic here about goblins, which I think is interesting because it's called Troll 2. However, the word troll is never used in the film.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Troll 2 was the title sort of slapped on it by the people who purchased the film because Troll was a reasonable success and they thought they could market it as Troll 2 and make their money back.
But there's no troll?
There's no connection between Troll 1 and Troll 2.
Okay, good.
Troll 2 features a young boy named Joshua who, when the film opens, is being read a really disturbing bedtime story by his grandpa, Seth. It is not the kind of story you want to read to a kid before he goes to bed. It will guarantee to give him nightmares because it's about goblins trapping someone and eating them.
Oh, good. Good.
Who are they, Grandpa?
Cruel, deformed forest dwellers. Haughty creatures. Spiteful and impudent. They are the vengeful and evil goblins. Little people of the night.
Yeah, nothing more terrifying than a creature that is haughty, spiteful, and impudent.
Oh, I thought you said impotent. I was like, how does that figure?
That is horrifying, Lisa, for you. But for the rest of us, these impudent goblins are horrible.
Grandpa may not have a real bead on his grandson's vocabulary skills, by the way.
Well, this is the beauty of this movie. It's written by an Italian husband and wife team. And English is very much their second language.
Okay.
So I get the sense that the script was translated from Italian into English, and it's a literal translation of whatever the Italian was.
Which doesn't usually work.
So you hear a lot of weird turns of phrase when it comes to the English used in this film. Here's the thing about Grandpa Seth, who you just heard reading that story to his grandson. He's dead.
What?
Yeah, he's dead.
While reading?
No, yeah, he's been dead for a while now.
All right.
But he comes back and visits his grandson as a ghost.
I see.
And Joshua keeps telling his mom about that, and she's had an ass full of that.
I see him in front of me, and he's so real.
and he tells me stories from just like before.
Grandpa Seth has been gone for more than 6 months now. You were at the funeral, and I know it was very difficult for you. It was also very difficult for your father, and for Holly, and for me, his daughter. He was an amazing man. Grandpa Seth has remained in all our hearts, but you must banish him from your mind. Remember what the doctor said?
Of course. Grandpa Seth is just an invention of my subconscious.
That's right.
That's right, honey.
That's great acting.
My little disturbed child.
That is the worst acting I have ever heard.
And banish me,
that
old his man. Daughter.
Right.
He's a great man, but banish him from your mind forever. Yeah, it's...
I could do that.
It gets... Oh, we've seen it. We've seen you bump into people at bars.
That's true.
Excuse me. So the family's going on a trip to a little country town upstate called Nilbog. And while they're getting, they're packing and stuff, Mom talks to Dad about their son Joshua and how the fact that she's concerned about his being visited by the dead grandfather.
I'm worried about Joshua. He's still seeing Grandpa Seth.
When I was a kid, I had an imaginary playmate, too.
But it wasn't your dead grandfather.
Good point.
Yeah, it'll end. This trip will make him forget about your father.
Michael?
Yeah?
Who are the goblins?
Hey, wait a minute. That don't turn out of left field. Bringing up the goblins on me like that. He says, oh, I don't know what the goblins are, honey. So they're going off to Nilbog and bringing, of course, along their oversexed teenage daughter, Holly, whose boyfriend, Elliot, sneaks into her room quite often.
Sure.
Because he gets, I'm not kidding you, he says he has to visit her because he has nocturnal raptures.
What does that mean?
I guess he's got a stiffy.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Okay. But it's an odd turn of phrase for a 16-year-old boy to say.
Yeah.
And that conversation gets even weirder.
I'm the victim of a nocturnal rapture. After Lee Smellowis and sinks with a woman.
Oh! Release your instincts in the back.
Are you nuts? You trying to turn me into a homo?
Wouldn't it be too hard? If my father discovers you here, he'd cut off your little nuts and eat them. He can't stand you.
And you?
I like you. But my family doesn't like you. They say you're good for nothing, and that you spend way too much time with your friends.
Yeah, you having friends at all. You bad kid with friends.
Unbelievably bad acting.
The most horrific part of the movie is she says her father will cut off his nuts and eat them. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Scarier than the goblins.
Sure, there's that.
So the family goes off on this trip, and Elliot gets some of his buddies in a camper van, and they follow them because he needs to be near his girlfriend. And when they get there, they find out that Nilbog is run by an ancient druid witch.
Of course.
Of course. Who is helping the goblins turn regular people into plants so that they can eat them, because the goblins are vegetarians.
Okay.
This whole storyline again.
Yes. And the goblins can also give the persona of a regular human being.
Okay.
They can appear to
like
be
shapeshifters.
Like exactly.
Yeah.
So this whole town of Nilbog is filled with people, but they're all goblins in disguise. And that's why Grandpa Seth is coming back to visit Joshua to protect him from the goblins.
Sure.
Well, one of the boyfriend's friends goes to the general store to get some supplies for breakfast.
Right.
And he is taught a lesson about how things work in Nilbog because they're all vegetarian goblins.
Can I help you? Coffee.
There's no coffee here in Nilbog. It's the devil's drink.
Eggs. Bacon.
Are you crazy, boy? We're vegetarians here in Nilbog. Didn't you know that? Here's some Nilbog milk. Special milk. High in vitamin content. Here is free.
Free?
Of course it's free. We love tourists here in Nilbog.
Don't drink the Nilbog milk, because that is the potion that will turn you into a plant.
Yeah.
In fact, all of the food in Nilbog, if you eat it, will turn you into a plant.
Okay.
That's why at one point, young Joshua has to stand up on the dinner table and urinate all over their meal.
So they won't eat it,
so they won't turn into plants, because dead Grandpa Seth told him that was the way to do it.
Logical. Makes sense.
Absolutely. As does little Joshua, who's running around Nilbog city limits and happens to look up and see the Nilbog sign and makes this discovery.
Nilbog! It's Goblin spelled backwards!
Uh-oh.
This is their kingdom!
Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards!
Uh-oh.
Well, then everyone starts to realize soon that they're surrounded by shapeshifting goblins who want to turn them into plants.
Sure.
And the entire family is trapped, along with Elliot, the boyfriend. The other friends haven't survived.
Okay.
And at one critical moment in the film, they're surrounded by the goblins, about to be murdered. And this is the conversation Elliot tries to start up with the head of the goblins.
Please, let's talk. We're all humans here.
Nope. No, you're not. You're humans, they're goblins.
Hey, wrong.
I didn't write this movie, but I know that much. I would cut that line of dialogue out. Wait a minute, aren't they goblins? Let's just strike that from the script. They realize that the goblins' power naturally comes from the ancient druid witch's magic stone of Stonehenge.
Of course.
Right? I mean, that's pretty much an obvious statement of fact.
And
Grandpa Seth says the only way to destroy it is with the power of goodness.
Okay.
And so the family has to put their hands on the Stonehenge in order to destroy the power of the goblins with their goodness.
Okay.
I think Joshua describes it better than I do.
Quick, help me. Put your hands on the stone and concentrate. What? Don't you see? Only the power of goodness can destroy these monsters.
Well, the power of goodness prevails. And the stone is shattered, the druid witch is killed, the goblins are killed, and they all leave Nilbog worse for wear, but I think they've learned an important lesson. They all get home, everything goes back to normal, and inexplicably, Mon turns into a plant.
No!
And goblins show up out of nowhere.
No.
And eat her in the kitchen.
Nope.
No!
And unfortunately, Josh was going into the kitchen for a glass of milk when that's all happening. And he discovers the goblins eating his mom. And this is the haunting last moments of Troll 2 that will live with you forever.
Do you want some, Joshua?
Do you want some? Which is the same reaction I had after I saw this film. I released the same piercing shriek.
Wow.
Well, that's quite a setup for Troll 3, though.
It
Come
is
on.
90 minutes of magic.
Wow.
And I found out yesterday it's available on Hulu.com as well.
Okay.
So you don't even have to Netflix it or pick it up from Amazon.com. You can watch it for free on Hulu.
That's H-U-L-U.
That is what it is. And you will love this film and share it with everyone you know.
This is the best.
You want to close up the video, Vaughn?
Hilarious comedian and actor David Koechner joins us in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, your chance to win tickets and backstage passes for this weekend's Weenie Roast. Obviously, it's Thursday already. The show is Saturday, so you are running out of time. Right now, though, how about an update from our friend Spencer Pratt?
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Spencer, you understand that the expression tomato tomato means two different ways to pronounce the same word.
Quid pro quo, whatever. You don't you don't have the right to talk to me like that.
But villain and jerk are not the same thing. They don't mean the same thing at all. That was Al Roker's point.
You know what? Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. This is all about me right now. You brought me in here for a reason, and I don't want to have you guys just pick on me right from the start.
All right, Spencer.
What?
Well, wait a minute.
Heidi Montag.
Lori, nothing from you, okay?
Heidi Montag says that she split with you, and she has moved in with a friend for a wild summer. She put that on Twitter. According to Radar Online, she moved out of the home. She moved in with Jennifer Bunny, and she tweeted that we're really excited to do girly things, which I think is good. And she tweeted, I am not Heidi Pratt, I am Heidi Montag.
All of that is true. We have made a split. Spence Dog is moving on to bigger and better things.
Now, is this a split like your marriage in Mexico, where it's all just kind of a fake setup thing so you can get in the press again?
No. This is a split, like, I'm going about my business, and I'm going to be with the women that I deserve to be with. A queen that deserves a man like me, a champion, a knight, the original cartoonist of Voltron.
You're not a knight, you're not a cartoonist.
You're none of those things, but you said all of that about Heidi. You said Heidi was
the guy who started the Turkish Bazaar.
Okay, that was 1,000 years old,
Spencer. Obviously, you didn't start that.
Whatever. Okay, you guys are talking pleather. I'm straight Corinthian leather. Ricardo Montalban style.
All right. So you are single. This is not a joke.
That's
this
right.
is not a PR stunt.
And listen, I've come in here. I'm also working with the next Jay-Z right now.
Yeah,
currently.
When is that going to happen? That you said that 2 years ago.
He helped me produce this album right here that I'm working on. In fact, I brought you the first single. It's a warning to the ladies out there that I am, in fact, single. You listening up, Linda? Okay?
Yeah.
I'm back on the market. And that means it's time for me to love you down. And that's what this song's about.
How is Spencer going to get a girl? Now, I know that a lot of people go for fame, but
I'm going to live forever.
But you so famously treat women poorly that
might be a problem for you.
How would you find anyone?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And Henry VIII?
Was the king?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he chopped women's heads off.
And he was still able to get new women. That's your point.
Yeah.
And he was the king.
I'm the king of Hollywood. Don't even say it.
Say what?
Those stupid lips of yours, keep them shut.
Oh,
okay.
Spencer.
So you actually are rapping now or singing or what are you doing?
This is
Spencer?
An R&B song.
An R&B song?
It's all the ladies. It's a romantic little ballad.
All right.
Going out to the hearts of the women all over the world. I need you to know, Spence Dog is single. This is called Love You Down.
Uh-oh. You better put your daughter in hiding.
Yeah.
Before I make her walk like she was horseback riding. Ha-ha. Be warned, Spence Dog is single again. And get romantic. Spence Dog.
Slow jam.
Is ready to love you down. Unless you're black or brown.
What?
Or Asian. Or some weird type of Navajo. Basically,
what?
You better be white and Christian and preferably in a high income bracket. Oh, girl, I can see what you're anticipating. My neck beard is here and waiting. It's majestic. Adam's apple fuzz.
Adam's apple fuzz.
Take your pants off. White Christian girl with a lot of money. I hope you feel insecure about your looks. Because you should. You can always be thinner and have bigger breasts, baby doll. So don't feel too good about yourself just yet. Oh, yeah. Get goosebumps just listening to it, Kendall.
I'm suggesting that you can't be that picky. I'm suggesting it might be hard for you to find another girl.
I'm suggesting that I invented lupus and I am...
Wait, is that good?
What? I'm a champion of parkour. Parkour.
Okay, stop. Get up. Oh, never mind.
I don't like that. So far, off to a bad start.
Dude, that was TNT.
I'm gonna f*** you softly. I'm gonna s*** you gently.
They formed a band, they made Tenacious D. And then they got to pick a destiny. Cause it's a band, a destiny child.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tenacious D!
World's greatest rock and roll band, ladies and gentlemen, and we are always honored to have them back in the studio of the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, boys.
What a package.
Yeah, look at that.
Put that together.
That was our man Omar.
Omar
did that.
Yeah.
I'm really touched, you guys. I'm moved.
You guys have some hits.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm really thankful that you let us put our sizzle reel on there.
We worked really hard on it.
It does seem like the interview has already peaked with that production piece, and now we should just all say thanks for coming by. Goodbye.
That's it. Yeah.
God, we sound good. What's new with the D? What have you guys been up to?
We're mounting a powerful comeback. We got a new album coming soon, and it's the comeback album. I'm not sure what it's called.
Well, you can call it a comeback.
Just go with the comeback album.
Don't call it a comeback.
Oh, dear God.
No, you can't.
It's more dramatic to call it a comeback, though.
Okay.
Okay.
And
But don't you have to go away before you can have a comeback?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good point.
Skip that. All right, that's okay.
We've been away. I mean, right. We haven't had... The last album was like, what was that, 5 years ago? Seems
so.
Like a long time ago.
All right.
I don't think it's been quite that long.
That's
but...
a normal cycle. All I can think about is a 50-year-old dude you were getting with.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of. I can't concentrate on any...
He must be dead by now.
What's that?
Right? He must be dead by now.
Yeah, she married him, by the way.
No, what? No, not that
no,
guy.
No, this was a different guy. She was only 20 at the time. Yeah. Why, Kyle? You're looking at Lisa going,
no,
why?
I just go, yeah, well, yes.
Because you're 30 years
exactly.
older than she is now.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
I think you are.
First off.
All right, so the new CD comes out soon.
Yeah, there was a lot of S's
what you
on
said.
That.
What does that mean?
That means we're like a third of the way through. We got okay. really powerful songs, but not enough for a full album.
All right.
All right. And is it going to rock our face off?
That is the goal. The goal is also to inspire for all those who are mounting comebacks of their own out in the world.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, now watch, people. Watch this happen. Keep going.
What do you mean,
you made the transition. Keep going.
I did?
The people making the comebacks. I thought you were bringing up the charity event.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
What's wrong with you?
I was just talking about myself.
I thought you were brilliant.
Yeah, no.
All the people making the comeback. Speaking of which.
Yeah, so yeah, we're doing a show a week from today. Tenacious D and Friends Stand with Haiti. And we're going to go down to, what's that place called?
The Wiltern.
Yeah, the Wiltern.
The Wiltern Theater. And we've assembled a powerful night of rock and comedy. We got Frank Black of the Pixies.
Sure.
Nice.
We got James Mercer of the Shins.
Nice.
We got Bob Odenkirk of Mr. Show.
Sure.
We got Patton Oswalt, powerfully funny man.
Yeah.
And we've got Tenacious D.
Wow. That's a hell of a night.
That's a great
yeah.
show.
Yeah. We're wrapping it up in a powerful musical burrito with a spicy comedy sauce on top. yeah, it's all going to this this charity that we found that we've decided is the greatest Haiti charity. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, how do you choose?
Yeah, which,
which
one
is the one that absolutely guarantees all money goes to Haiti?
Yeah. Okay.
And they've got, you know, they're kind of like a boutique charity where they're not a huge, like, Red Cross.
Right.
But
so people come to them and they say, I need some food. And they go, nope, not our deal.
how about some medicine? Can't help you.
If you want crayons, we've got a lot.
You know what? I forgot what they're called.
Partners in Health.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I wrote it in my iPhone app.
All of us have the information.
PIH.org if you want to check them out. Make
Good
sure they're
know.
Legit. But really, you just want to come and check out our kick-ass show. That's the main thing.
You're going to be playing
so
some
words,
of the new stuff?
You can hate Haiti and yeah. still go and have a great time, is what you're saying.
That's yeah.
You can accidentally do good.
Don't hate Haiti.
Don't hate Haiti.
No, you should. You should. You certainly should. Partnersinhealth.org, PIH.org, has been working on the ground in Haiti for over 20 years. So they are, it sounds like, uniquely positioned to know what to do
exactly.
in a situation like this because they know the landscape and know the people.
Okay. Yeah.
Tickets go on sale, by the way, 1 hour and 44 minutes from right now. If you want to get tickets to see this evening of music and comedy with Tenacious D, it's going to be at the Wiltern 1 week from tonight. And, of course, you'll be incorporating Groundhog Day somewhere into the performance that night because you can't avoid a holiday like that if you're playing, right?
It's true. You know, I've never really paid attention to Groundhog Day. But
you know
this
why?
Time we're going to
dumb.
Yeah.
That's why.
Maybe we should dress up as groundhogs. It's not that much of a stretch.
I thought you already had.
Nice.
All right. So now don't you like begin with one at heart to get slammed.
We are going to take a very quick break and come back with more with the guys. Tenacious D is here. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be right back.
All right, we all know how that one ends. Okay, it's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. The D is in the house here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, our friends Jack Black and Kyle Gass in the studio as Tenacious D. By the way, I love this so much. You guys have been Tenacious D for a lot of years. And, of course, it's a basketball term for tenacious defense. And it's something that you were probably making fun of at the time when you got the – but people still use it. If you do a Google search of Tenacious D, the first 20 articles that come up are all about sports. Tigers, Tenacious D will test
what?
Tech. It's unbelievable that they haven't retired it as a result of you guys basically – making fun of it for the last 10
well,
years.
We have failed then.
But wait, the band doesn't come up in the first 20?
No, we're up in the
come
first
on.
20.
First 20.
Yeah,
are you Googling
on.
It right now?
I just did. Tenacious D, defense has Jets, yeah. Vikings on yeah. cusp is okay. number one. Tigers, Tenacious D will test tech number two.
All right.
For your consideration, get psyched for Raw. Oh, Kyle, is that you doing something with wrestling? Is that what that's about?
Yes, this is sideline.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So no, you're
kind of
seeping
depressing.
In.
It's depressing.
Revenge
when you Google your band's
Bucks
name.
Past Wisconsin.
You want your band to come up first on the Google search.
I would
really.
Think so.
And that's why we're mounting a comeback. Because we want to be above, Poughkeepsie's baseball team. Here's the thing. There's like some handlebars you can buy for a mountain bike that are Tenacious D bars.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I Googled the D and the handlebars came up above the band.
That is a bummer. That's not what you want.
But not
You're
for
this
long.
Close to opening for a puppet show. You know that, right?
Not after we play this next song.
Whoa.
Tenacious D, by the way, is going to be on stage at the Wiltern with lots of cool people and friends. Frank Black from the Pixies, James Mercer from Shins, Bob Odenkirk, of course. Patton Oswalt will be there. The Wiltern, 1 week from tonight. Tickets go on sale next hour at LiveNation.com. It's a benefit for Haiti. You can stand with Haiti. Proceeds to PIH. That's partnersinhealth.org. You guys are going to be are you going to bring in the full show there? Smoke machines and leather, or is it just going to be an acoustic deal?
It's going to be an acoustic deal, but that is, the original D credo. And I think that it's actually our most powerful performance when we just go a la carte.
You rock harder. Without
We're also without. trying to get Prince to come and play that new song because I love it.
Have you ever
can't
heard
believe you guys
song?
Are dissing on that song.
Are you kidding? It's the worst song ever. You're joking.
The Minnesota Vikings fight song we debuted about a half an hour ago that Prince apparently wrote because he's a huge Vikings fan. You see him at all the big games. He's up there in the owner's box or something.
I think it's a powerful jam that just had some bad production on it. It needed more electric guitars or something.
It needed a completely different tune as well and words.
It needed Dave Grohl on drums.
Right, that would have helped.
And then he'd be back in business.
That would have helped a lot.
He needed the revolution.
He needs a comeback album now after that one song.
Yeah.
He killed his whole career just for the way he...
See? It's a creeper.
It does sound awfully Hitler Youthy to me. Doesn't it? A little bit, like you can see that in the square?
Yeah, it does make you want to march.
All right. What can you guys do for us that's radio friendly?
What do you mean radio friendly? No F-bombs?
Well, Jack's good at hiding the F-bombs.
I'll hide them. Don't you have a delay and a button you
we
can
do,
push?
We do, but it makes, messes it up. Doesn't sound good.
All right. Well, it messes it up to put in fudge instead of...
Yeah, I hear you.
Powerful. Okay, here we go. this one's called Rise of the Phoenix.
Okay.
When the pick of destiny was released, it was a bomb. And all the critics said that the D was done. The sun had set and the chapter had closed. But one thing no one thought about was the D would rise again, just like the Phoenix. We'll hug and rise again. That's right, the Phoenix. We'll rise again. Yeah. 'Cause the fiery heart of a champion cannot be quenched by a failure or an embarrassment. No way, no. And the critics all agreed it was a sticky pile of cheese. But that does not mean that our hearts are not strong. Just like the Phoenix, we'll rise again, y'all. That's the Phoenix, we'll rise again. Oh. Right.
But what if it's true? If Tenacious D has died, what will we do? And what will we do about all the fans who have the D tattoo? They'll have them removed. They'll have to laser off their D tattoos. Tattoo. They'll have to laser off their D tattoo. Hold up, Cage. What's that on the horizon? It's a big old fireball of hope. We can still make it to the top, Cage. All we need is our friendship and our stick-to-itiveness and one hit. Just one more hit. One hit! One hit! One hit! One hit! Yeah, we're hoping this is it. One hit! Top 10 hit! Top 40 hit! Top 1,000 hit! I don't care!
Just a bit.
My face is melted. Yeah. What am I going to do now? I can't talk. I can't eat.
I warned
Crazy.
You.
You did warn him. Let's do it.
All right. Tenacious D in the studio with the Kevin DeBead Show on stage at the Wiltern 1 week from tonight. Can you guys stick around for one more? You got to go.
Yeah, no. We can stick around.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. We'll be right back with Tenacious D on the Kevin DeBead Show. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock and 20 minutes until tickets go. Oh, an hour and 20 minutes till tickets go on sale. Is that correct? Yeah.
Why aren't they on sale now?
Well,
why aren't they on sale
we
now?
We should have put them on sale right now.
I don't think the people at Live Nation want to get there that early, right. So they do it at 10.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tenacious D is in our studio. Kyle writes in, guys, that was amazing. I had to stick my face in the freezer before my face melted off, too. So that shows the power of the D right there. Where the event that we're talking about that tickets are going on sale for is at the Wiltern. It is 1 week from tonight. Why'd you guys decide, by the way, to go the extra effort? As big-time celebrities and sex symbols, why did you decide, hey, I'm going to give up a night of my life and invite my famous friends out to raise money for Haiti?
It's become kind of a tradition. A lot of bands don't want to jump in and make themselves the center of a Save the World campaign.
Right.
But for some reason, we have the...
We don't have a problem with that?
No. Yeah, we like to save the world, like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Good. So whenever there's danger or whenever there's a cry for help, the D will be there.
Good to know.
Now, the thing is, though, we decided to do this before George Clooney swept in and totally saved the world.
Right.
So he's stolen some of our thunder, but it's good because, you know, every bit helps.
Sure.
But he did take away a lot of attention. I figured it out
mathematically.
Yeah.
We would have to do 1,000 of these shows to even come close to what George Clooney did with his one telethon.
Which is great.
Which you're happy about, of course.
We're happy. Of course I'm happy.
You can't compete in charity, Jack.
It's just that, you know.
There's no competition in charity.
I know, but if you go with my superhero metaphor, George Clooney is like Superman, and we're like, you know,
One of the villains?
Insert joke here.
We're Groundhog Mans. All right. We're still saving the day.
Okay.
You're going to be driving home, and something really funny's going to come to you, Jack. That's what they get. Let me ask you guys this, and I was thinking about this the other day. I was watching some of the video coverage of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers at the White House, and I was thinking it had to be so weird for them, even though they know that every NBA team that wins gets to go to the White House. They still had to be standing there going, well, I'm Ron Artest. What am I doing at the White House? You know, it just must be weird. Has there ever been a situation with the D where you've had where you've played a venue or hung out with people that you couldn't believe as the D that's the universe that you were in?
One time we did a benefit for John Edwards, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Long before the scandal.
How'd that go?
It did seem a little odd.
It didn't work. He didn't get
Right.
Into office.
But that's not because of you guys.
No. But
now, yeah. How did something like that happen, though? Was he a fan of yours?
We were just throwing our weight behind someone we thought was going to be a good candidate. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it felt a little strange whenever the D gets political.
Sure.
But
because you don't usually do that.
Nah. But I don't know. What do you think, Cage? Are there any times when you feel like, what are
we
doing?
I remember when we did the Bridge School benefit.
Right.
And then Neil Young has his barbecue before.
Yeah.
And I'm just like poking a fire with like James Taylor and Tom York and Neil Young. And I was really like,
who doesn't fit?
Yeah. There was one person there. Really shouldn't have been there. I don't know. So Tom, tell me about the new album. How's it going?
So are you the kind of guys who will go up to Neil Young? Because I'm guaranteeing, I don't know this, but I assume you guys worship Neil Young as all right-thinking Americans do. Are you the kind of guys who will go up and talk to Neil Young, or do you keep your distance because, you know, you don't have the guts?
Well, when you're at a barbecue, you kind of have
easy,
to.
It's easy, right?
That gives you the guts.
Yeah. No, I can talk to the legend, my heroes. I just try to keep it simple and basic. I try not to go too deep. You know, like, those ribs are so good, Neil. Where'd you get that sauce?
I really like that old car you're working on there.
That'll keep me grounded. It'll keep me from getting too nervous if I just keep it basic.
What? Okay. Didn't you have a...
caveman style.
Didn't you have a rainbow connection with Barack?
Barack Obama? No, we didn't really talk very much. I went and did... I was at the pre-inaugural
I remember you. Yeah.
And he said he liked School of Rock.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
You were out there on the inauguration, that inauguration week where it was like 15 degrees in D.C. You were part of that?
I was there in the pre. Dude. Yeah. I was bundled up warm. It's not so bad if you got all the layers.
Did you rock faces or did you just hang out and watch?
No, I just talked. I just talked faces.
Talked
it was
faces?
Not, yeah, it was not my usual thing.
What happens
thing.
To faces when you talk? Because I don't know.
I can still melt faces just talking.
Okay.
With my intensity.
I didn't know. Okay.
The Stand With Haiti benefit, if you're just joining us, hearing Tenacious D on the Kevin DeBean Show, is going to be a week from tonight. Tickets go on sale today at 10. PIH.org, partnersinhealth.org, is the earmarked charity here who have been on the ground in Haiti for more than 20 years. Frank Black will be there. James Mercer from the Shins. Bob Odenkirk. Patton Oswalt, who you know we love here on this program. It's going to be at the Wiltern a week from tonight. You guys have time? You have the strength for one more number before we close it out?
Well, we got a lot of important stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess we can we'll try.
Squeeze one out?
You got a bunch of stuff to do?
We'll stay.
All right.
One more segment.
Tickets go on sale at livenation.com, by the way. A lot of people automatically think the other one. All right. Kyle is standing up. He's getting the guitar. He's in no rush. He's in zero rush. He's not rushing.
Should we do one about our roadie? We have a roadie that has been our roadie for the... for 20 years, actually. And this is a song dedicated to all roadies, but mainly our roadie, Johnny Spike. It's called The Roadie. A little song like this.
Well, it's 3 p.m., time to lug the gear. Got to get it on the stage. My muscles flex, my sweat will save the day. But the roadie knows what the roadie knows, and the roadie knows that he wears black clothes and he guides off in the shadows off the stage. Well, you rock the mic. Oh, stop.
Stop.
Why? I totally
what happened?
I forgot.
What?
I forgot all the lyrics.
That was going well.
I wasn't planning on doing another song.
Oh.
I didn't practice it.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
That's all right.
It sounded good,
yeah,
what
so
you
far.
Did.
Yeah,
I
right.
love that.
You
guys.
Right
that
until
awesome.
That
go,
part
go,
where you
get,
said stop.
Get.
Well, I check the mic, I really check the mic, I really check it, check it. 1, 2, 3, mom. Ah, forget it. Never mind.
How long ago did you write that song?
Like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, I see. Okay, good.
Well, that was a tease. That was just the tip.
Yeah.
Right, we're gonna,
you'll hear the whole
do,
thing.
We'll love it.
Fully practiced.
See, there you go.
At
that's,
the concert.
That's great news. If you want to hear how that exciting story ends, you'll want to be at the Wiltern 1 week from tonight. Stand With Haiti with the great Tenacious D. Please go to Live Nation to buy the tickets. Benefits to Partners in Health. Check out their website, PIH.org. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Great
thanks
to see you
guys. Thanks, you guys.
That is the band Phoenix right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are part of the lineup that includes Weezer, Flaming Lips, and so much more on the new Bonnaroo lineup festival for that concert they have every year out in Tennessee. I think we have those details up at kevinandbean.com if you want to see who else is going to be playing. That's turned into quite an event over the last few years.
That's good.
It's like Coachella East, I guess, a little bit is what it is.
All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got an email here that I think you'll enjoy very much, Kevin. Hey, guys, long time, first time. I was listening to your interview with the great Ozzy Osbourne the other day on your program, and I only got about 50% of what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Then the next day, I was listening to Kevin trying to tell a story about what he did over the weekend, and I only understood about 40% of that. Then I was watching the first episode of the new season of Lost last week, and I only got about 20% of that. WTF, right? So could you guys make my dreams come true and arrange an instant request between Ozzy Osbourne and your own Kevin discussing the new episode of Lost that aired last night? That would be most illuminating, I think.
Oh my God.
Sincerely, Dave. I can't imagine that those are the guys you go to, but hey, Dave, we're going to give it a try. Thanks for the email. It's time for another Kevin and Bean instant request.
Listen up, everyone.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
Hey, Ozzy.
Hello. I'm surprised to hear you from you.
Kevin, are you there?
I'm absolutely here at 110,000%.
Kevin, are you now talking to Kevin? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah.
Okay, that's, well, you know, Lost
this
does
is
have
more
the
confusing than I thought.
Lost does have the alternate reality. Now I understand that you guys are Lost buddies. You guys talk every Tuesday night after the new episodes air.
Yeah, I call Kevin. We discuss the final post of what happened in the episode, and I say that. I do not know why they want to poison Saeed. It's because it's because of the evil inside him, and he's back from the dead, and I'm afraid he's gonna. It's Jack's sister! Jack does not have a sister. I do not know Jack's sister. Claire is Jack's sister! Because his father was in Australia! And who had the sex with Claire's mother? I do not know who Claire is. Who is Claire? Is she on the show? Yes, she was the blonde girl who has a baby. There's this big belly. Aaron. Who is Aaron? Aaron is the name of the baby. But last night she did not even know having the baby yet. She was in the hospital, but no, have not even having baby. But it's going to happen. And it did happen. So they're going to be the same thing. It's with Aaron and Claire is going to go back with Claire to go with the baby. Why is she shooting people? Why did she shoot people then? I don't understand why Stoyer threw a ring away. Because he was upset. His girl he loved died, and he said he was going to propose to her. When did Evangeline start driving a cab?
Okay.
I can't talk to you anymore.
How is Ozzy more clear on what's happening than Kevin is? This is very troubling, actually.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to bring up a topic now that it's called. Well, one of the words
stop
is
stop it, Lisa.
One of the
it's
words
pretty
is
awful.
One of the words is boofing. That's one of the words. There's another one called slimming.
Uh-huh.
But the actual title, and you can find these videos on YouTube, and this is what it sounds like.
Relax, the chick.
The article begins, young people will stop at nothing to get messed up. And what this is, it's called butt chugging. Now, now, I wasn't aware that you were unable to drink alcohol anymore.
That it doesn't go down your throat.
Because that, that always seemed to work for me.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the other end it has some allure to some people.
I'm
so
sure.
So for girls,
yes,
maybe it's a tampon soaked in vodka. Yes.
Why?
I don't
Why
know.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But I'd like to talk to somebody who has done it.
Oh, my gosh.
And that somebody's name is Steve-O.
Yeah!
Hi, Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
How you been?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear it. Now, we saw this report on butt chugging, and of course, that made me think of Jackass. I think it was Jackass 2.
Well, actually, we did it for the first movie, the first time around.
Okay.
That one was a little bit more graphic.
Yes, it was. Yes, sir. The aftermath was also graphic.
Right, right. Here's what happened with that. I had this. I thought it was really cool to drink beer through my nose. For a long time, I would stick straws in beers and suck the straw full of beer and cork the top with my finger. I would do that with two straws, and then I would stick my head back, and I would put the straws in my nose and uncork them.
Okay.
So, you know, two strawfuls of beer would go in my nose, and everyone would be so shocked. This is like a trick I did in the bar.
All right, no, wait, just let me stop you right there. So you did that to make other people laugh. Didn't it burn?
Right, right. Well, yeah, in my nose, sure, it burned terribly, and I thought it was great, and it was an absolute hoot every time. So then when we were filming the first Jackass movie, I told, you know, I submitted this as an idea, and I was like, oh, man, guys, this is going to be great. I want to do the nostril beer bong. I was like, make me a beer bong where, you know, where it comes down to the end, but then it forks into two tubes. And I'm going to put these tubes in my nostrils. We're going to pour beer down. I'm going to chug the entire beer through my nose.
Right.
I thought this was going to be like the craziest stunt, just the wildest thing. So there we were, on the day, and I was just an absolute wreck. I'd been up for days, and I put these two tubes into my nostrils. We pour an entire beer into the thing, and I'm just saying that good, chugging through my nose. Not so much as one of us even giggled. And then Nacho said, "That sucked. Put it in your ass."
Wait a minute. So, so this trick that you do that kills every time didn't even arouse any interest in people.
Right. Not in the Jackass squad.
Right.
No.
Wrong squad to impress that way.
Right, right, right. So now here was my fatal error. Nacho said that sucks. Stick it in your ass, and I said, dude, we've already established that I do not put stuff in my ass, and that would have got me off the hook. But then I added, and plus it probably wouldn't even work.
Oh, that's a mistake.
So, yeah, so once I said it probably wouldn't even work, then I had to do it because we had to find out if it would work.
The reason to do that, and the reason people are doing it on YouTube, and by the way, it's a terrible idea.
It is.
If you can't tell from Steve-O's voice, it's not something he necessarily enjoyed, but what's the effect?
My tolerance to alcohol was really... pretty high at the time that I was doing that, and the first time I tried it, the effect. I mean, I've been doing cocaine for a good 3 days, so a little beer in my butt wasn't a big deal.
Right. No. Right. Okay.
I don't know. Like, there's different stuff I did. Like at one point, I talked a nurse into putting an IV in my arm, and I dumped 5 shots of vodka in the bag. That was probably a bigger deal, and even then,
wow.
Even then, I wheeled my little IV stand to the bar and really made sure that I was loaded. It's tough for me to tell what all happened.
Yeah, I know.
But
you're sober now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So when you look back on those days, is it difficult to talk about those stories or?
No, not at all, man. Not at all.
This doesn't make you want a butt chug.
No, it doesn't make me want to butt chug at all. It's really actually pretty funny, and I'm just glad that I left no stones unturned.
Correct.
You know?
Like,
I'm really satisfied the curiosity.
There's nothing that you need to go back and try now.
Yeah, I'm pretty satisfied that I've covered all the bases. But yeah, that first time, so that first butt chug, what we did was we removed one of the more narrow nostril tubes. And so there was only the one, and it was really pretty basic, you know, like because it was such a thin little nostril tube. So I put that in my butt,
right?
The guy and we could not believe it. I didn't think it was going to work, and it was really a function of finding out whether it would or not,
right?
So I put this little nostril tube in my butt, and I lifted my legs up in the air, and I kind of started kicking. I got a little, and we watched. Now, the first time we did it, and I think this is why it didn't get used, like, the beer is coming into my butt, but there was also some flow out of my butt.
Good.
As the level of beer was visibly getting lower, and the beer was was moving down the tube. Like it was a really just this disgusting scene.
Yeah,
it was great, and it didn't get used.
Yeah,
the first movie.
I wouldn't want to see that. I'll be honest.
I know the second movie, I didn't have the luxury of that little thin tube.
No, you didn't. You had a giant tube that they put.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Well, Steve-O, we saw this story, and it made me think of you because you're the only person that I know who has actually done it. But I also wanted to say that Psycho Mike gives us updates from time to time on you and how you're doing, and it's fantastic to hear that those days are behind you.
And today they are.
right. For gotcha. Today, yeah.
Right.
But anyway, we're super happy about that, and thanks for coming on the air and explaining that to us. Because
cool, man. Sorry if my description was long winded, but I was really excited to tell you all about it.
That's why we love you, Steve-O. Thank
cool.
you.
Oh, hey, you guys have a good one.
Thank you, man. Bye now. All right, we're gonna go to Dr. Drew next.
Okay.
And find out if that's a good idea.
My earliest memory as a child is me on a motorcycle. We were poor, and my parents sacrificed everything to steer me into motocross. We found Florida property in the middle of the ghetto, getting bigger with every race I won, and I won a lot. Today, I'm the number one motocross racer in the world, the fastest man on the planet, and the first African-American champion in my sport. My personal sacrifice is giving up a normal life, but this summer, for the first time in my life, I'm about to take a break and see what the rest of the world is like. I'm James Stewart. But some call me Bubba.
Motocross and Supercross legend with a new TV show debuting this Sunday night, Lisa May, on 5 channels at the same time. That is either real commitment or a network that is desperate for programming. Let's find out which. Bubba joins us on the phone in the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, James, how are you, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us. I don't think I've ever seen a show debut on 5 channels at once. What's going on with that, dude?
I'm gonna have to go with the first one, totally committed. So, but yeah, no, I think, hopefully the show will be pretty good. Like, I'm excited about it. Like, it was, the fun to do. And, for me, it's different. You know, I'm about to have my own, like, TV show. So, like, wow.
Yeah, you sure are. Fuel, Fox Sports Net, Speed, Fox College Sports, easy for me to say, and Fox Reality Channel. That's all going to be at 9 o'clock this Sunday night. So what made you want to do a reality show? I mean, obviously, you have an interesting life for the rest of us, but what's in it for you? Why did you want to do it?
Well, I think, I love my fans. I'm all about my fans. So, you know, to kind of give it, like, a different insight of what I do. And I think... I think that people are going to really enjoy, what really goes on in, professional athlete's life and going from being the top to, like, just basically hanging out. But also, it was just, to get the sport of motocross out there. You know, not a lot of people know what supercross and motocross is and hopefully they catch it and want to watch it so they understand what it's all about.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I it's certainly not as true now as it was a few years ago before the X Games became so popular. I mean, I'm sure a lot more people are into the sport than have ever been into it before, thanks to that kind of exposure from ESPN and other networks, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. ESPN has done a lot, from even with the freestyle. The freestyle really kind of kicked in with Travis Pastrana, and, they kind of start thinking about, like, they didn't know what supercross was, but they knew motocross and, motorcycles and doing the backflips and all that. So it kind of started with that. And now, since the X Games is so huge, like you said, the supercross has been a big part of that. And, so a lot of people do, but maybe not like just the normal who watches American Idol or things like that don't, know. So it's hopefully bring it out.
What do you think is going to surprise people the most that they don't expect to see going on in Bubba's life when they watch this TV show?
I think a lot. I think a lot. I think the cool part is about my show is that, you'll see how busy I am, traveling across the country and stuff like that. Like, it's just different, It's a reality TV show, so, things that surprise me might not surprise anybody else. But, basically it's about my life and I had a chance to take off a summer, and now, I took it off, and, you know, I go down to Orlando, have some fun. I, you know, buy a new house in there. You know, have a lot of crazy friends. But, you know, you also get to meet who my family is. Like, it's one of those shows that, you know, you got to watch. You know, you got to watch to really understand it and stuff. And I think it's going to be pretty good.
Speaking of your family, I got two questions on that front. One is, you're used to being on camera and in the media and being scrutinized. What was it like for other members of your family who have been private up to this point? And two, how supportive have they been throughout the years of your choice of career?
Well, to answer your first question, I don't know. They haven't been really scrutinized yet because the show hasn't came out. So, you know, they'll find that out, you know, pretty quickly and stuff like that. But, you know, again, my family is my family. You know, we live in Haines City, Florida. You know, we're, you know, country people. I get to fly across the country and be the superstar or whatever you want to call it, and they're behind it. And then, you know, second, like, I think it's, you know, they've been supportive of everything I do. You know, I feel like I'm the one who has to go out there and take the risk and stuff. And, you know, they've been supportive. You know, we have love. And, you know, when I finish racing, you know, they're still going to be the same people behind me. So, you know, sometimes maybe they don't like some of the things I do. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in it together.
Yeah. We're talking to James Bubba Stewart, by the way, about Bubba's World, his new show debuting this Sunday night on a bunch of channels, including Fuel at 9 o'clock. You know, we have had Shaun White on the show a number of times, including right when he got back from winning his latest gold medal at the Olympics. And we were talking about how, you know, guys 23, 24 years old, just like you, with a fair amount of time off, lots of money, and lots of fame. How is it you guys don't all end up in trouble or in jail?
Well, you know, first of all, I think it's a good, you know, family kind of thing. But, you know, we come from, like, such, you know, our backgrounds are just different. You know, like, I race motorcycles and stuff like that. And, like, yeah, I fly across the country. I'm in, you know, stadiums packed. You know, I have a bunch of fans. But to me, like, the superstardom part don't, like, really get to me. Once you see my show, like, you'll see, like, I like, you know, just going out to a dinner and movie. Like, I don't like going to clubs. I don't like going out and doing this stuff. Like, yeah, I do it, but, like, that's not my everyday routine. And you know, and we just know how important, like, our image is and, you know, and how we really care about what we do. We're really passionate about what we do. And plus, like, when you're just another person in the sport, you know, you're always looking for something to separate you from everybody else. When you're like Shaun White, like myself, Travis Pastrana, and all these guys, you are the sport, you know, so you're carrying the whole sport on your back. So, you know, your attitude and how you, you know, have to hang out with people and, you know, be in front of people, like, it has to be completely different compared to if you're just a part of a team or anything else.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. A couple more quick questions for you, Bubba, and we appreciate your time here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. What's it like for you to try to date and separate those people who might really like James Stewart versus those people who are in love with Bubba, the superstar athlete?
Well, you got to have, like, that BB Gone spray or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. You just, you know, you have to figure it out. You know, you could tell pretty quickly. It just depends where you meet them at, you know, or you know, how they recognize you and stuff. But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm having fun. You know, I love doing what I do, and, you know, it's part of it. You know,
don't end up like Jesse James. That's what I'm telling you, Bob, all right?
I guess that's the next show, huh? You know, I'll be having
whatever.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty good at picking all this stuff out.
All right, last question for you. I know you rub shoulders with a bunch of famous people in your line of work, and even you get starstruck sometimes. I understand since the last time we had John that you met President Barack Obama. Tell me about that.
Maybe in my dream.
Oh, you never did?
No, I've never met him. You know,
I thought you did. I thought I heard you did. Okay.
No. I mean,
Season two then.
Yeah, season two. You know, maybe I have, and, you know, I just haven't figured that one part out. But no, I haven't, man. That's one thing that I would love to. Yeah.
James, I had a question along those same lines. Being that you're such a trailblazer in Supercross and Motocross, how well have you been received by the African American community?
I've been received well, you know, really well, you know, just because, like, my whole thing is, it's like, you know, I'm with one of my big sponsors is Samuel and Red Bull and stuff, and we go to, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs around the country, and, you know, my whole thing is when I go to these kids and stuff, like, you know, they know who Kobe Bryant is and LeBron James, these, you know, basketball players, and Reggie Bush, but, like, when I come in there, and I'm a motocross guy, you know, so, you know, I'm not necessarily on the lines of the everyday sport. So when I go in there, I try to preach to them, like, look, man, like, I chose motocross, you know, like, I'm the first, you know, black person in motocross. So, like, for you, like, look, you can be a school teacher, you can be, you know, Barack Obama, like, you know, you can do whatever you want, because I chose a sport that's not necessarily the path that everybody else going down.
Right.
And, like, so I try to preach to them, like, look, man, like, you can, you know, do whatever you want. And it's cool to come into, you know, these Boys and Girls Clubs and see these kids look at me and find a new sport that, you know, they fell in love with. And, you know, I'm their hero, so it's pretty nice.
The show is called Bubba's World. Look for it on Fuel Sunday nights. It debuts this Sunday night across 5 cable channels. James Bubba Stewart, great to catch up with you again, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. Take it.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean, listen, I'm just saying, let the dogs go. Let them go. It's clear.
Let them go.
It's clear they want.
They're pets.
Right? But they would like to be freed to go be the pets of someone else.
They love me.
Yes.
They love my wife.
Right,
I
know.
And that's why you were in the hospital.
Right. I'm saying they're giving a clear message.
They love you too much.
They're calling for help. They're saying, someone help us. We want out.
Look.
Right?
Here my whole thing. I have 6 dogs, ladies and gentlemen. I have a 15-year-old. I have a 13-year-old. I have an 11-year-old this Thursday. Tater Tot turns 11 on Thursday. And I have 3 21-month-old English Bulldogs. Okay?
Okay. Can I just comment?
Yes.
Dumb.
Too many dogs. Yeah.
Yes. That's insane.
Easy to see now. Okay, wasn't so easy to see at the time. So I have the 3 English Bulldogs. Put them together, it's like a 200-pound beast with 3 mouths, okay?
Okay.
So occasionally, there's going to be a problem. Occasionally, my hand or arm or head or face or neck or leg or foot is going to end up in somebody's mouth. It's just, it goes with the territory. If you're out horsing around, you're playing in the yard, and everybody's having a good time, sometimes somebody's going to get bit. And that's what happened on Friday, is my wife and I both found ourselves at the hospital getting tetanus shots and getting our hands bandaged up because large quantities of skin were missing.
Right. But here's what I'm saying. Maybe the dogs got together and said, hey, this sucks.
We tried everything else.
And there's 6 of us.
Let's take them down.
Let's band together. We'll act like we're fighting, and we'll try to send them a message. Don't you think that's possible?
I don't think it's possible at all, because I think they have a tremendous life. They get so much attention. They get such terrific care. There's no reason on earth why they shouldn't be happy here, but they do. You put them together and they're a mob. I mean, they really are. All that happened is that Donna was trying to stop Yum Yum from rolling in the grass so much, because he's got a real bad grass allergy this year, and his whole underside just breaks out in these big red welts, right? So she's trying to keep him from rolling around on the grass. So she reached for him and said, no, Yum Yum. And then Linus heard that, and Linus jumped on top of Yum Yum, and then they started scuffling. And then little Veruca, she can't just watch a fight. She's got to get involved. So then she jumps in on top of them, and we're trying to separate all the dogs. And you know how that goes, man. It's a bunch. Lisa, you've been there. Just dogs everywhere. You reach your hands in to try to pull them out, something like that, and you accidentally get bit. I don't think it was on purpose at all.
Hey, my name is Yum Yum. Yeah, I know. I'm Linus. Hey, don't forget about me. I'm Veruca. Listen, we got to do something to break out. Let's act like we're mad at each other. We'll fight, and Bean will step in, and we can bite him.
You're making it sound like it's prison break. That's all they do is when we're not listening, they're plotting their escape.
Just bringing up the idea that perhaps a dog named Yum Yum.
Yum Yum is an awesome dog, but
I'm so not Donna's, saying it's not an awesome dog. I'm saying it's a bad name.
Well, so Donna's.
How bad is it?
Well, Donna's was really bad. Hers blew up. She had a golf ball size welt on her hand within a minute. And I said, dude, I've never seen anything like that before. We're taking you immediately to the hospital. And we did. And the next day, the swelling went down from the one spot and spread out over her whole hand. So it looked like a Minnie Mouse glove. It was twice the size of her other hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Super painful.
But wait,
she couldn't even move her fingers.
But you went to the emergency room at the same time?
Yeah, because I got bit, too. I got a big chunk taken out of my hand. So we both had to get tetanus shots. And,
and those are not painful?
You know what? They're a little bit uncomfortable after the fact. I mean, your arm is sore and stuff the next day. But it's just a precaution, because tetanus is a terrible way to die. You get the locked jaw. It's very painful. But what is this? Producer Alex is telling me that you guys lined up somebody to talk to.
Well, we have an expert, but I'm curious about your version of the story, because it seems like maybe there's a part of the story missing. That's all.
It was just a misunderstanding, and everybody's fine. Everybody got along great after that. It was just wrong place, wrong time for our hands and fingers. That's all.
All right. Well, let's bring in an expert. Okay. We do have the dog whisperer.
Ah, of course.
On the phone. Cesar Milan.
He would know.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hi, Cesar
Milan. How are you?
Hello.
Good to talk to you, old friends. It's been a long time.
Have have you listened to the story?
I have. I'm very disappointed you've been. I know you've been a dog owner for most of your life, and you should know better than to allow your dogs to run your life like that. You have to be the trendsetter, the trailblazer. You are the alpha dog, okay?
But do you know Bean? No one's less an alpha dog than Bean.
I understand that. It's American culture. It's very difficult to be in charge of your dog, to punish your dog when you don't necessarily want to, because they are your best friend. They are man's best friend. I understand that. But it's something you have to do. If you truly love your dog, like if you love your kids, you have to punish them. You have to set boundaries. You have to be in charge.
Cesar, what do you think about a guy who names his dog Yum Yum?
It's a bad idea.
Okay.
It's a bad idea, because then they get the idea that they are spoiled children.
Right.
And they should have, you should name them Spike or Turbo or something manly, so they know that they are amongst a manly pack of dogs.
Cesar, Gilbert and Sullivan, the great songwriters, Lisa, you'll appreciate this, they had a play called The Mikado, and Yum Yum is a princess character in The Mikado. That's where his name came from.
Bean, there's really not enough FU in the world for me to give you.
All right,
my middle finger is not big enough for me to properly give you the
middle
finger.
How long would your middle finger need to be appropriate in this situation?
It would need to take up about 40 acres of land, my middle finger, to properly All give right. you the right middle finger. Okay.
Names aside, how should I have handled that?
Good point.
I'm trying to ask a question.
Do you whisper
about,
to dogs, or do I whisper to dogs? I am dog whisperer.
You are the dog whisperer. I agree. You're the expert. Okay,
I want
please.
You to take your dog, the one that's been really inciting the problems lately.
Which one is that?
That would be Lightest,
okay.
is the one who's
take
jumped
Linus,
on top
of
Yum Yum.
I want you to right. soak his balls in honey and put him in an anthill.
What are you talking
well,
about?
No,
that's a terrible
I'm not gonna
idea.
Do something
oh, I'm sorry,
that's going to hurt
sorry,
the dog.
What, is your name the dog whisperer? Do you whisper to doggies a lot? How much time do you spend whispering to dogs?
Yeah, we whisper.
That's my name. My moniker is Dog Whisperer.
We whisper, but
I know what I'm doing.
I don't think they understand.
I want you to sew his butthole shut and feed him fiber.
No.
Okay, I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt my little dog.
I want you to slander him on Facebook.
What are you talking about? A dog doesn't read Facebook.
People hate that. Right. And then give him a bunch of blow and hide the cigarettes. Omar liked that one.
Wait, who? Wait, you're a guy named Omar with you?
See Omar. He runs the kennels. Yes.
I see.
Really?
I want to get him real coked out. Hide the cigarettes. That's the worst.
All right, so honey on the balls.
Yeah.
Sew the butthole shut.
Yeah, and keep feeding him like Mucinex or something. They make, not Mucinex, the fiber. What do you Americans call it? The laxatives, yes?
Yes, laxatives. That's
slander him on Facebook.
Yeah,
right,
and perhaps encourage him to sext his girlfriend and then steal his phone and show all his friends.
Is this right. really the dog whisperer?
Yeah, remember the basketball player who was showing his pee-pee on the cell phone?
Yes.
It's so embarrassing, is it not?
All right, that'll improve Lytus's behavior. That's what
Take
you're saying,
Take him to
Cesar.
A driving range and tee him up.
That's a terrible idea. But can I hear the sound effect again?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, tomorrow's Thursday here on the show. Well, it's Thursday everywhere, but here on the show on Thursdays, we talk to Dr. Drew. He'll be joining us tomorrow. Also, Steve Carell on the program tomorrow, Kevin, talking about his new film Date Night with Tina Fey and comedian Jay Mohr, who just killed us at the April Fool's show this past weekend.
That guy can get up and do 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever, and not repeat himself.
I know, it's amazing.
I've seen him four or five times. He rarely repeats anything, and yeah, he's still that funny. It's unbelievable.
Anyway, he was great, and he's got a new book out, believe it or not, which I'm sure will be great, too. So all that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
First, let's talk to our friend Anel. Hi, Anel.
Buenos dias. ¿Cómo está?
What's happening, my friend?
Hi, Anel. Anel, of course, is our token blacklister of the Kevin and Bean Show. We have heard rumors there are others. Anel is the only one we've ever actually met. And we saw you at the Foolishness Show on Saturday night. You have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time, guys. Thank you so much. I very much enjoyed myself and got drunk.
Anel was... If Anel's a 5, he was with a 9. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. He definitely dated up on Saturday night. That's for sure. All right. So I got an email or a Twitter, I don't remember which, from Anel a few days ago about an unusual experience that you had on Facebook. I know everybody's got the Facebook page. I don't, but I know people love it. And you came across something that I've never heard of before. Anel, tell us what happened.
Well, as you guys know, my pimp hand is strong.
Sure.
So basically, I was trawling for ass on Facebook one day. Just kind of going through a couple friends' pages.
Like you do?
And, like we do. I particularly do well in my old community, my old high school and college community.
Right.
People know me and whatnot. So I come across a face that kind of looks familiar, but the name doesn't match. I go, I don't know this person. That name does not ring a bell.
But you, and, but you, your eye, with your eyes, you thought, I know that person.
Yeah, you know what they say, man. You can't change the eyes. You know what I mean?
Right.
The eyes catch me. I've known this person since maybe sixth, seventh grade.
Okay.
So, you know, I go, interesting. And I know this person had a brother. So I think, well, maybe this is another sibling I don't know about. So I ask one of my, well, first of all, if you want to know anything, just ask a black woman.
Okay.
You know, they got all the gossip.
All right.
So, so I asked one of my sister friends. I said, sister friend, do you know, such and such? And she says, oh, yeah, you haven't heard. And I was like, no, I haven't heard.
Those are the best words. Aren't they?
Yeah.
That's always followed by something great.
Yeah, oh, you haven't heard.
You haven't heard.
Yeah, I've been out of the community a while. So, yeah, she basically tells me that my old buddy there went ahead and, you know, cut off Willie Lump Lump. And he's now a she.
Your friend, who you've known since you were a kid, changed sexes.
Yes. He is no longer a male. He is now a female. Full-fledged.
How did she, I mean, before you realized what was going on, were you looking at the picture going, yeah, I might hit that?
You know, it wasn't so much that as it was kind of like, you know, I went to high school in the same, I grew up in the same area from pretty much, you know, junior high to high school, so I pretty much know everybody, you
right.
know what I mean? So
right.
I just remember thinking to myself, well, I don't know her. Did I miss one or that, you know, who, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It just kind of set off a little, you know, alarm in my head there, and it just, I couldn't get my head around it. Like, who is this chick?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the point where I had to reach out, you know, to find out, and yeah, man.
Now, did you contact her and say, hey, remember when you were a dude?
Yes, I did, actually. I did. I went in and sent out my little friend request to kind of set out and said, hey, what's new?
Right. And she wrote back, breasts and vagina.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, you know, it's funny because I go back and thinking, you know, like, you know, you run back, you know, your childhood. I mean, all the signs were there. You know what I mean? I mean, this cat, he had a black seagull's haircut, you know, back in the day when that was hot. And,
oh, really?
You know, my man, well, he was an amazing dancer and all the girls liked him. You know what I mean? But he never had a girlfriend.
So now that you know he's a girl, now you look back at it and you go, oh, yeah, that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Practically, you know, flying the gay flag from like seventh grade on. You know what I mean?
But right.
Yeah.
But he wasn't gay, apparently. Apparently he wasn't gay. He was a woman.
He wasn't gay. He was a woman trapped inside of a man's body.
Right.
I guess that really doesn't make you. I don't know what that makes you.
It makes you a woman.
All right,
here's the question, Anel, and I don't know. We're going to take some calls on this if any of our other listeners have experienced having a friend, somebody that they personally know switch sexes and what that's like. But you obviously haven't been in touch with this person. It's not like you had an ongoing relationship. Would you be likely now to get together with this person, or are you just too weirded out to know that there's a sex change happening?
I cannot wait to hit the clubs with this cat, man.
What?
Are you serious? I'm every brother talking to her. I'm going to be like, oh, just don't know.
Oh, that's why.
I want to say, I mean, I hope none of my, hey, I'm just going to say, man, you know, I always go for comedy first.
Of course, you have to.
So,
yeah,
that
is true.
So any of my friends out there, you happen to see me with a really, really tall Filipina chick one day.
With a big Adam's apple.
I'm not going to tell you.
Hey, you're going to be a good wigman and make it happen.
Yes, I'm going to be the wingman.
Kevin brought up the Adam's apple. I don't know very much about sexual reassignment surgery, but there's nothing they can do about that. They can't remove an Adam's apple from a guy when he becomes a woman, right? You still got it.
Well, fortunately, like I said, she's of the Asian persuasion, and they have very soft features in the first place. You know what I mean? They don't really have the big fat Adam's apple and the
all right.
going on. So yeah, he was kind of light ass in the first place. So I think he'd be all right.
Now, okay.
You know,
now outside of going to clubs for comedy, would you hang out with her as
a
friend?
Oh yeah, totally, man. Let's see. Hey, man, look, black. You know what I mean? What that means is that I've been persecuted, prosecuted, and resuscitated and all that type of stuff since the time I was a small child. And I don't really have too many, you know, racisms against anybody else. You know what I'm saying? You guys know that my enemy is the white man.
What?
You know what I mean?
as well he should be, right?
Of course. Right, exactly. So, you know.
But let me ask you this. So let's say you're out, you go to the club, you're having fun, and then she comes on to you.
Oh, no. Come on.
All right, I'm just asking. I got to ask. No?
Listen, are we talking? Are we talking Jaeger? I mean, what are we talking? What am I drinking?
Anything.
Anything that matters.
I don't know, man. Maybe a couple whales in. I don't know, man. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
He's very open.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. You know
okay,
what I mean?
All right. Sounds good. All right.
1-800-520-1067. The phones are lighting up. I've never personally known anyone who got a sex reassignment. Apparently you have, and we want to hear from you. We're going to take your calls. Nell, can't wait to find out what happens with your new girlfriend. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, as always.
Thank you.
Right now we're talking about a friend of yours or someone you know had a sex change operation. Look, I can't even imagine the horror of feeling like you're the wrong sex, trapped in the wrong body. I have nothing but sympathy for the people who go through that. It's a terrible thing, and they're brave enough to go out and have the operation, but what does it do to their friends around them? How do they continue to relate to them? I think it would be so distracting, it would be hard to hang out with that person and not constantly think or talk about it.
It seems like if you're a good dude or girl, you would get along with it. If you're me, you wouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, I look at that and I go, I would handle that poorly, and I don't think of myself well for that. You know what I mean?
I have to say, I would want all the details. And I would want it. I mean, here's a person now who's
want
had
any
sex
of the details.
As a male and a female.
Yeah.
I would love to know what that's all about.
All right.
Let's talk to Steven on line six. Yeah, I understand the initial curiosity, but at some point, if the person is a friend of yours, don't they just go back to being a friend of yours, or is it impossible at that point once they've changed sexes? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Steven, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your experience?
Hey, what up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, I dated this one girl. Her name was Viviana. I took her virginity, and we dated for around 3.5 years. So we break up. I broke up with her, and apparently I broke her heart to the point where months ago her mom called me saying, because her mom's a hardcore Catholic and she wanted me to pray for her, that Viviana had a sex change and her new name is Joe. And I was just like, what the f-? I was like, wow.
You think it's because you broke her heart? Really?
I'm calling BS.
You're calling BS on his friend switching sexes?
No, maybe not, but it was only me and she.
Yeah,
and I hurt her so bad. She changed. Come on.
You've got an inflated sense of ego, basically. Steven,
people don't do that because they get their heart broken once by one person.
No, they have to go through months of psychiatric care to make sure. These are people who felt this way for their whole life.
Yeah, that's right. That's bogus.
So you can lose the guilt. It wasn't you, and you probably weren't even that good, as a matter of fact.
Right. That's what he's saying. Is I was so good that when I withdrew myself from her, her life was meaningless. All right.
Let's try Aaron on line two. He's got a guy friend that changed sex, and let's see how he's dealing with it. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so I have this friend that I went to high school with. We played on the football team. We played on the basketball team. We were guys. We love sports. We love partying. So I've known this guy for about 8 years. Recently, I found out, I would say in the last 2.5 years, I found out that he had a sex change.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. So I called him up. I was like, hey, you know, I heard the news, yada, yada, yada. So the first night that we actually went out, I was kind of nervous because I was like, I don't know what's really going to happen.
Who's going to make the first move? That kind of thing, right?
How weird it's going to be having sex with a friend.
Oh, popcorn trick.
Weird. It actually turned out he took me to West Hollywood. I really don't venture west of Fairfax.
West Hollywood, for those of you that don't know, is largely gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went out, and it turned out that just by being with him in this bar, the guys were coming up to me, they were buying me drinks. I ended up drinking all night for free, and I was like, wow, I tapped into a gold mine.
How about that? So whenever you want to go out and get drunk, you go with her.
But you have to go to a gay bar?
It's not really a gay bar. It's just, you know, that...
Is it in West Hollywood?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a gay bar.
So,
Aaron, right, you enjoy hanging out with transsexuals and gays. Just admit. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Jennifer, line one. She's gone through this a couple of times. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
I actually have two friends that have had a sex change, one of each sex.
Really?
So one went male and one went female.
Yeah.
And do you find either change easier to deal with?
You know, it doesn't really matter because I've known them both for so long that it's really just who they are, and now they can express it outwardly.
See, this is the difference, I think, is that, I'm not kidding, women are better than men. I really do think that.
Well, when I think of sex change, I think of that if it was a woman friend, she would deal with it a lot better than
right.
a male friend.
That's what I'm saying. The understanding, all that kind of stuff, I think I would fail. Right. greatly.
Such sort of gay undertones.
I don't know.
They have to live as the sex that they're
right
to for a very long time before
the change.
Right, yeah. Right.
So it's not really a transition. The only difference is that instead of saying this is my friend, Jennifer, it's my friend Justin.
But does your friend,
it's really difficult to remember the name.
The friend that became a female, I mean, they often just don't look that good. It's a tough change to make. How does she look now?
She's not a very sexy woman. But she's happy.
Yeah.
That's why I love her anyway.
It's rough.
But it's like we were saying, I mean, look, even if you're close friends with the person, if they look kind of freakish, it would be difficult to put that out of your mind and just go back to having a regular kind of relationship where you talk about regular stuff like you used to before the surgery. That's what I think I would find so difficult. And I'm kind of with Kevin. I'm not proud of that. But realistically, I mean, I'm thinking about, let's say Psycho Mike, and inevitably he's either going to go gay or turn into a woman. When that happens, and he's still working on the Kevin and Bean show, but now he's Michelle, it's going to be impossible for us to just treat it like it's a regular conversation.
Yeah, I would
with
be
him,
a
right?
hot chick. I would be a hot chick.
But that's what you need for a guy. Jennifer said, not hot, still my friend.
Well, I also think that that's the number one reason why men seem to have a much bigger problem with it than women, is that guys, no matter what, when we encounter a female for the first time, we always think about what it would be like to have sex with him or her. And if it was formerly your buddy, that would freak you out to no end.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, we're such dumb animals that we'd the whole time, even though it was your male buddy, if you're in a room with a female, the whole time you're like, don't think about having sex with her. Don't think about having sex with her. Don't think about it. And you're like, oh my God, that was my male friend. Oh my God.
Do you think it would be easier for you if it were a male friend who became a female? Would that be easier to deal with?
I don't know.
I think it might be.
Maybe. I wish we had time for more of these calls. We had a friend's dad had a sex change. That's got to be weird.
Oh,
Brandon says that his friend had his Adam's apple shaved down.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of emails on that. I was asking about the Adam's apple, saying they can't remove it. Right, apparently there is. Weezer, also Linkin Park, coming up on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:25. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I got to tell you, I usually think I have, you know, you guys are going to laugh at this, but I usually think I have the pulse of the Kevin and Bean listeners and what they think about a lot of stuff. But mm-hmm. I was really shocked by the reaction that I got from the emails yesterday when we were talking about the Kevin Smith story. Now, Kevin, in full, you know, the interest of full disclosure, we consider a friend of ours, and we're very supportive of him, like his work very much. Terrific director, actor, writer. He had an incident over the weekend where he was bumped, if you haven't heard. He was bumped off a Southwest Airlines flight. He was already sitting down in his seat, and the flight attendant came up to him and said, "You're going to have to leave. It's a security issue." Well, what they didn't want to tell him is they thought he was too fat to fly, even
right.
though he could sit in the seat. He went on Sunday night and did a podcast with his wife where he described where he's at on the story, and then wait till you hear what the reaction was from the Kevin and Bean listeners.
And I am fat, and that's how I conduct myself in this life. I'm okay. I found a woman who f***ed me. I got me a chubby chaser. And if I die early because I'm fat, that's my own fault, my choice. But I am not fat enough to eject off of a Southwest airline flight
right.
simply for size. Not yet, motherfucker.
All right, so we talked about that a little bit and played some comments from Kevin's podcast, and then the emails started flying in. And let me read a couple of them real quick, and then we're going to get to your telephone calls on this issue. If you have personal experience, either as being the fat person on the plane or the person sitting next to the fat person, or if you just want to make a comment about the topic in general, we want to hear from you, 1-800-520-1067. Walter writes in, "Wow, I'm not sure how fat Kevin Smith is, but whatever happened to no shoes, no shirt, no service? It's not his airline to make the guidelines. If he doesn't like it, don't fly or buy your own plane. I've sat next to a fat person on a plane flying coach, and it's not good at all. It does infringe on my personal space. Let me tell you, I was extremely uncomfortable as I was being crushed on that flight. I think the logical solution for airlines is to specify a weight limit per seat so there's no misunderstandings. If you're over the limit, you have to buy two seats. If a scale is needed before boarding, so be it. If you're close to the limit and too cheap to buy a second seat, then fast for a few days and then come back to the airport." By the way, I don't think a weight limit would work because not everybody carries their weight the same way. You can
right.
be 200 pounds and be obese. You can be 200 pounds and be thin, depending on the rest of your body type, right?
And in Kevin's defense, he flies Southwest all the time. They
yes.
never did this before.
That's right. That's absolutely right, yeah.
Here's another email. This one's from John. Maybe somebody's been photoshopping the photos of Kevin Smith, but if what I'm seeing online today is accurate, yeah, he needs to buy two seats now. He needs to wake up and smell the diet soda. It's time to go on Celebrity Biggest Loser. If he attempted to sit down next to you on an airplane, you'd complain to the stewardess too. Wow. I mean, it's one right after another. Dear Bean, this is from Henrik. Let's not forget he ordered two seats for his fat ass on his original flight, which he missed. He then purchased a single seat for the flight in question, and somehow it's all the airline's fault that he doesn't fit. He should take responsibility for his fattest and stop being such a crybaby. Thanks for your time. So that's a generally representative sample of the emails that I received on this topic yesterday. Yet, when we talked about it yesterday and in conversations that I've had with people off the air, it seems to me that the barometer ought to be, if you can fit into the seat and put the armrest down and put the seatbelt on, I think by definition, you're not too fat to fly.
Yeah, they have to set the limit somewhere, and that's right. It, if you can fit into your seat. So, to me, it shouldn't have been kicked off.
And I understand that there are going to see some. There are going to be some people who, even though they can fit between the seat rest, that they spill over a little bit,
and it's going to be uncomfortable.
Just like there are people who are gangly who have elbows that go over. You
right.
Know, just like there's
well,
a lot
of. Well, you're 6'6", Bean. I mean, sitting next to you might not be that comfortable either.
Hey, yeah, it's not. I don't envy the person that I sit down next to for any number of reasons.
Now,
but that's one of them.
Bean's
now,
thin, though. Bean's thin. Here's my thing. What about the offensive lineman? Who's not fat.
Right.
But he's 6'6", 360.
Right.
And he's got shoulders that are 4 feet apart. He's just as, he destroys your ride on an airplane just as much as the fat guy. But
yeah.
It's his job to be huge.
And
you
he's
blame
physically
him?
Fit, too.
Do you blame the professional bodybuilder, the guys who I've seen in cars who can't even sit in, you know, huge Cadillacs with three people in the back seat? They need, you know, you need to ride in front seat and let them have the entire back seat to themselves because they're so wide. And
right.
They take perfect care of their bodies. It's part of their livelihood to be wide and take up a lot of space. You can't blame them for doing that, too. It's the same thing for overweight people.
I don't know what the Southwest Airline policy is. And if Ralph were in here, I'd ask him because he made an excellent point off the air yesterday, which is it seems to be subjective. It seems to be that some people are fat and fly, and some people, in the case of Kevin Smith in this case, are fat and are asked to get off the plane. And it almost seems to be that they eyeball you and make that decision based on what? I'm not sure.
Well, what was interesting was that Kevin pointed out someone else on his flight was bigger than him.
Yes, that's
and wasn't
right. And
taken
that person
off.
Continued to fly. And Kevin Smith also said in his podcast that on the flight that he ended up getting on later to finally make it back home, he said that there was a very large woman on the plane that the flight attendant went up to and said, you should buy two seats next time.
Right.
So I don't know if this is a change in Southwest policy or if this is something that's going to start affecting all airlines. But there's no question people are getting bigger and the seats are getting smaller. That's for sure.
And the reason I'm shocked that most people don't support Kevin Smith is that most people are overweight.
Yeah.
I would have thought that the general public would be in support of get behind Mr. Smith because most people can probably relate. You know, it's not like I guess maybe thinner people are just the really loud minority.
I would never personally. I mean, if you're texting, then I complain. If you're just fat in a seat next to me in a plane, I would never complain to the. I mean, I feel bad for people like that.
Right.
They don't really.
Let's take Vince's call real quick before the break, and then he's on line four, Mike. And then we want to come back and talk to you if you've got personal experience or would just like to weigh in on what happened to Kevin Smith. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Vince. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Morning, y'all. Lisa
What's up?
Hello.
Hello, Dan.
Well, a year ago, I flew out to Michigan to go see my brother graduate. And I'm a very large man. I'm 6'1", 340. And as soon as I got on the plane, I saw my seat in the middle of two white boys.
Mm-hmm.
I go and I crawl and I'm looking and they're looking at me and they're staring at me saying, oh, please, Daddy, don't come this way. and I did. I went and I shoveled my booty in there and I sat down and they even moved over and let my little rolls hang over. I sucked it in and boom, I buckled in. Not one person complained. The flight attendants came by and they just stared at me. Didn't even say anything to me, and I flew Southwest.
Well, I mean, I think this is what Ralph's point was yesterday, is that it just seems to be such a subjective policy. What do you think about the idea that the first emailer wrote in that I read on the air that said there ought to be a weight limit, and if you're above a certain weight, or there ought to be a scale, or there ought to be some other way that you know before you get on the plane whether it's okay or not?
Get a chair, set up some sort of a chair that they can go into a room and sit in at the airport and see if they can fit or not. Before
so
they ever get on the plane.
Vince, you've never had any trouble in all the times you've flown? You've never been asked to leave a plane?
No, sir. And I've been
Everywhere I've been the most, up to 400 pounds, and I'm proud of it, and not one fly has told me to get off.
That's because they're afraid you'll pummel them. I think it could be fear. It could be fear operating, Vince, here. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and come back with your calls on this topic, too. 1-800-520-1067. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I am telling you, people are scorching these phone lines and the email talking about Kevin Smith versus Southwest. So far, it looks like it's about 90-10 in favor of the airline. Is it crazy?
Well, here's the funny thing. All the emails are against him, and yet those are not the phone calls we're getting.
Listen to Christian. Just because a person can shoehorn themselves, by the way, again, if you're just joining us, talking about Kevin Smith getting flown, asked to leave the Southwest Airlines flight because somebody in the organization thought that he was too fat to fly, even though he could sit with the armrests down. And that's what the topic we're discussing. We'll get back to your calls in 1 minute. Just because a person can shoehorn themselves into a seat by forcing the arms down does not mean that their fat asses aren't overflowing over those armrests. These are the same people who wear a size 32 pair of pants with their entirety of their belly hanging out. The armrests sit pretty low and don't take into account fat arms or mammoth shoulders. Armrests are not the barometer we should be using. If airlines choose to conduct their business this way, so be it. Buy two seats, fatties of the world, is what Christian says. All right, let's get back to your calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk to Wendy. She is a former flight attendant. She may have some insight onto this story that we haven't heard yet. Hi, Wendy. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just an experience I had while I was a flight attendant. I had a guy that was so ginormous on one of my flights. They gave him the aisle seat. Of course, it was like an overbooked flight. And he could not fit in the seat. We actually had to put the armrest up. And one of his butt cheeks hung out into the aisle, which I think is dangerous. But, you know, it's up to the gate agents to kick these fat people off. But, yeah, he had to get up and stand in the back galley so that we could get the bar cart through the aisle. That is how much he hung over his seat.
Wow.
That just makes me sad.
We have a picture, and I don't know if it's a real photograph of a real passenger on a real plane or if it's some sort of Photoshop thing or some setup photo, but please go to kevinandbean.com and look at the biggest guy you've ever seen on an airplane. That picture is up there now.
It's about what Wendy's describing.
Yeah. So,
I think I took a picture of it, but God knows where it's at somewhere
on our website.
If I can find it, I will email it to you guys. It's ridiculous.
What did they tell you as an employee of the airline? Did they say to you, I mean, obviously safety is your number one priority as a flight attendant. Did they say to you, if you think that this person is going to be troubling in the event of an emergency or is going to impede other passengers getting out of the plane, don't let them fly? I mean, what kind of guidelines did they give you?
Well, there really isn't any guidelines like that. I mean, of course, somebody of that size, everybody's going to complain and be very uncomfortable, especially the people sitting next to him. Yeah. I don't remember particularly on that flight if we complained to the gate agent or not, but me personally, I think it's so unsafe because he was next to one of the window exits on top of that, and there's no way, you know what I mean?
All
he's going to do is like block the flow of traffic if there was an emergency. There was no way he was going to get out of a window.
Gotcha. All right. I'm so glad you called. Thank you, Wendy. We appreciate it. Let's go to line seven now. The name is IGI. I won't pretend to know how to pronounce that. Hey, IGI. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Iggy?
Good morning. Yeah, it's Iggy.
Hi.
Oh, is it
really IGI or is it really IGGY is what it should be?
I've spelled it IGI since I was young. I don't know.
All right. So you're part of the problem. All right. What's your comment on Kevin Smith versus Southwest, please?
You know, I don't have a problem with it. I flew a couple months ago to New York in a really small plane. It was a connecting flight for the last 2 hours. It was like a 46-foot plane, only two seats per aisle. And I sat window next to a gnarly, big, fat guy. He asked, he's like, oh, do you mind if I don't put the armrest down between us? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not the type to complain, so I didn't say anything. But he even needed an extra seatbelt to go across his stomach.
That extender, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Smith said he didn't need that.
Yet.
Yeah.
So how uncomfortable were you having this guy essentially share your seat? I mean, the airline seats are pretty small to begin with, and this guy was clearly taking some of yours, right?
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable. He, you know, had his arm down, and it was, like, touching me the whole time, so I stayed as close as I could to the window, didn't get up to go to use the restroom at all. I mean, it was a 2-hour flight, but still, I needed to go, but I didn't want this guy to have to get up and...
bother everyone around.
Let me ask you this question then before we let you go, and that is, what do you think the airline should have done with that passenger?
Maybe had him, like, because there was empty seats in the back, and in the back there was a very last row had three seats. You could have at least, you know, scooted back there and had the person.
Why didn't you go back there then if those seats were open?
Like I said, I'm not the type to complain about things, so I just, you know, took it.
Okay, thanks for the call. The difference was in the Kevin Smith flight that he described from the weekend is that it was completely sold. There wasn't another seat available for anybody. All right, let's try to squeeze in a couple more. Let's try Eileen, who I think is one of the fat people that we're discussing. Eileen is on line 4 and is on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Eileen. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's going on?
I have the majority of my family is big, and they're not, like, super, super big, but some of them, you know, they're pretty wide. And we've flown a lot of times, and there's never really a problem. And I don't understand how people are always blaming fat people. Like, why would I'd rather sit next to a fat person than sit next to someone who stinks, like, BO the whole flight over there.
I have done that, and it is not good.
So why should we have to be forced kick fat people off the plane? Why can't we kick stinky people off the plane?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Obviously, there are lots of things that other passengers on a plane do that people complain about, but I think fat comes into it from the airline's perspective because of the safety aspect. The stinky person isn't going to be a problem in the event of a water landing, for instance. I think that's right. Where the airline is worried about. Look, let's face it. The airline doesn't care about passenger comfort. They wouldn't have seats that are 12 inches across if they cared whether you're comfortable or not on the plane. They're just worried about it in the event of an actual emergency. So I think that, to answer your question, I think that's why the fat people are a problem. Have any of you or your family members ever been asked to get off a plane because you're too fat?
Never.
Okay. All right. Keep eating then. You're doing great. Thanks for the call. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.